much about.
We're a team. We're all going out together.
Let's give this crowd a show.
Go team!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Ah!
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
Nina, this morning's interview with Kevin and Bean, would you say it was the most fun you've ever had?
No.
Calm down, my posse, calm down.
And now.
There's a saying in show business, the show must go on. And I couldn't go another minute without being around the greatest non-pornography crew I've ever worked with.
Our feature presentation.
Well, I guess that's a category.
The non-porn category.
Sure.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is a Tuesday morning, and it's 5:33.
Bear Mug, I've got the Channel 4 news on, and they've got one of the reporters standing in the middle of Dodger Stadium right now talking about how all the true Dodger fans are going to be down there today.
Is he not going?
No.
Oh, no, he got tickets.
Yeah, I had tickets, and they were given away.
You mean they were given away? Had nothing to do with you?
Nope. I had them. I was offered them, and I said, yeah, sure, would love to go.
Uh-huh.
And
opening day. How can you not?
Nope.
Well, somebody else making decisions in Beer Mug's life, apparently.
That's how outraged he is. Can we ask, without getting too personal?
It was the GF.
Ah. Okay.
The GF runs things. You know that.
I do know that.
GF decides where you go and where you don't go, Beer Mug.
Yep.
Poor Mugs. So, Dodgers are opening today at home, and Beer Mug won't be there.
Nope.
Well, at least he can satisfy himself with the knowledge that he'll be there for their second game.
Yeah, absolutely.
The third game.
Absolutely.
Yeah, neither of those are going to happen. Yeah,
none of those are happening.
No.
I don't know if we did this story or not before, but I came across it in my materials here. And this is a survey of 100 emergency rooms around the United States. And they put together a list of, I guess for a number of reasons, they put together a list of all sorts of emergencies that people go to, even if it's a, you know, fall in the tub or a burn or whatever it is, you know, shoveling snow, you hurt yourself, just because they like to keep track of things like that and maybe see areas where, you know, information could be handed out or the circumstances could be improved or products could be made better. But there's one particular category on the list that I was very attracted to, and I think you know that is things that got stuck inside of people.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of different things and lots of different places inside the human body where things can get stuck. And I thought it might be fun to kind of go through this real list of emergency room visits from last year and see some of the things that ended up inside people.
And then try to figure out how and why they got to that point.
Look, who among us hasn't fallen down on the ground and a potato went up her butt? I mean, that just happens. There's no way to avoid something like
that. If you don't mind my saying, that's never happened to me.
Really? Yeah. That's happened to me like a dozen times.
Really? The potato? Huh.
Here's things that got stuck in people's
mashed
ears.
Mashed potatoes.
No, I'm talking about on the way in, not on the way out. This is things that got stuck in people's ears. Okay, here's a brief list of some of the items. For instance, a strawberry was stuck in somebody's ear. Somebody went to the emergency room because they had an eraser in his ear. Potpourri beads, chalk, leaves, juice straws, pencil lead, a silver metal charm, a toy, a comb. Those are some of the examples of things that got stuck in people. Now, how does a comb get stuck in your ear?
I don't know. I don't know why you start putting the comb in your ear in the first place.
And think about a comb. How could it even become stuck?
I don't know. I don't know how it would even fit in your ear. And I got big ears.
Here's some things that have been stuck in people's noses over the past year. Christmas ornament, a battery, the tip of a ski pole, a toothpick, a ball of aluminum foil.
What?
A plastic fishing worm, a sponge, a 6-inch nail, stuffing from a stuffed teddy bear, a bean. Now, again, what are you putting a ball of aluminum foil into your nose? Into your nose for? What under what circumstances would that be a thing that you would do?
I'm drawing a blank. I mean, I can't imagine any situation. Although I would imagine that most of these that are inexplicable involve alcohol. And
or little kids, it just occurred to me, maybe.
Well, that could be.
Maybe little kids are sticking stuff everywhere, right? All right, we're moving up now. Things that got stuck in people's throats. Coat hanger, mouth guard, confetti, coins, plastic eggs, a dog toy, dry ice, a screwdriver, a bee. Those are things that got stuck in people's throats. Okay,
a bee.
Yeah. Now, that one, that just had to be a it flew down, right, kind of deal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And tough to swallow. All right, now we're moving into things that got stuck in people's penises.
Oh, I don't want this.
A pen cap, a paper clip, a stick, plastic piece from a game cartridge, a fish hook, a piece of plastic spoon. By the way, that there actually is a little bit more information on that one. It says here that the guy in the emergency room said he wanted to see how it felt.
What?
And he ended up in the emergency room with a piece of plastic spoon in his penis.
I could have told him how it would feel.
Not good. Ready for vaginas?
That isn't good for you.
No.
By the way, you may need ready for vaginas as a drop.
Yeah.
A toy car, a toy screwdriver, an ice cream scoop, shower knob. Oh, was that still attached to the wall in the shower, I wonder? I wonder if they. What if that was a call where they had to come out to the lady's house.
And lift her up off it? I don't know.
Yeah, because she was stuck to the shower knob in the shower. Oh, wow.
That's a hell of a call to make.
Can you visualize what that would be like?
What's your problem, ma'am?
A glass vial of cocaine, a ball of yarn, including knitting needle, a bracelet, a small red rubber ball. Those are things that got stuck in the vaginas.
Everybody keeps their small red rubber balls there.
Do we have time for the final category and the one we've all been waiting for?
Sure.
What about the butt? Here we go.
Yeah.
Toy soldier, action figure, shaving cream can, travel toothbrush holder, needle nose pliers, beads, pencil eraser, condiment bottle, tip of the toilet wand. Sewing thread, that's on the spool, drugs in a sock, plastic bottle of drugs, hairbrush, jar to dilate rectum so he could move his bowels, this one says,
whoa,
by the way.
Too much info.
False fingernails, glass dildo, plastic dildo, soft rubberized dildo, vibrating dildo, double dildo, golf ball, 6-inch sex toy, I don't know how that's different from a dildo, 16-inch sex toy, rebar
16?
Wire. Yeah, what's up with that?
What's happening there?
Rebar wire, a baby bottle rounds out the list of things stuck in the butt.
Too much information, man.
I guess working in an emergency room would not always be a great job. But it sounds like often enough you'd have a story like this that you'd never get tired of telling.
Yeah, when something like this comes through, I imagine it spreads through the hospital like wildfire.
Sure.
Just like, you've got to get down to ER2. The guy's got a potato.
So good times right there. Well done. Keep it up, people.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Wow. That is a very savvy analysis right there.
Not much of an analysis, just an announcement. Let's talk about today's show. Let's talk about beer mugs weigh-in.
Woo!
How do you feel?
Nice and tight, ready to do this.
All right. Gustavo Arellano will be here with his new book, Taco USA, and we're going to do Ask a Mexican. He's one of our favorite guests. He's the best.
Yeah, he's great.
We want to talk about Clint Eastwood suing this furniture store for using his likeness and everything else that's going on in his life.
Well, you got to pay celebrities a lot of money to actually use them to endorse your products. You can't just fake it without their permission.
We'll count down to Samageddon, as we've been doing all week. We're going to talk to an author, as it is Book Tuesday. And this guy wrote a book called O.J. is Innocent and I Can Prove It. And at first I thought, yeah, okay, whatever, I've heard this 1,000 times. But when you hear that it could have been O.J.'s son, allegedly, and he had a problem with violence, allegedly, and dad's trying to cover it up, allegedly, interesting.
Well, the first question I'm going to have is, does he believe that O.J.'s defense knew about this and purposefully did not bring him forward, did not bring the son forward as an alternate theory?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. But then if O.J. did it, then he also had to frame himself. That's my question.
Well, yeah.
Because his DNA was everywhere.
Yeah, right.
So if that's the case, then he must have put it there to try and make it look like he did it. I don't buy it. But this guy says he can prove it, so we're going to talk to him. And fresh off April Foolishness, Jay Moore, one of the funniest comedians we know, is going to be in the studio today. Very excited about that. And we've got your tickets for Coachella, 3-day passes, coming up at 9 o'clock, at noon, at 3, at 6, and 9 p.m. So that's all coming up today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Coachella. T-minus, well, it's got to be 3 days now until this weekend.
We got get my ticket tag today. I'll get my tickets today then. That'd be great. Oh, I'm glad you guys are counting it down.
I don't think you're going, are you?
What?
Can you imagine anyone being more miserable at Coachella than Ralph Garman?
How dare you, sir?
Ralph does not hate, does not love the heat.
Is there alcohol there?
Yes.
Well, then, I'm halfway home.
Then you'd be fine.
Yeah.
I think you'd be fine, too. Let's go.
Well, right. we do have tickets for you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show at 9 a.m. and then again at noon, 3, 6, and 9. 3 day passes to Coachella. Obviously, you're running out of time. Weekend one just around the corner. And don't forget, lots of live broadcasting happening all weekend long. I guess starting Friday from the K-Rock Coachella House. Kevin, did you see the list of the bands that are going to be stopping by?
I did not see the list, but I did see that none of them stopped by during our show.
Yes, that is true. None of them wanted to be on during our show, yeah.
Because it's a horrible time for bands to get up in the morning. So they go, we'll stop by, but
noon slot.
Do it later in the day.
Well, we can't say too much, but the Shins and the Hives and Mike Snow, Band of Skulls, Kasabian. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on. So it's going to be a lot of fun at K-Rock, at the K-Rock House all weekend long. Get those details at K-Rock.com. Rob is here now. Time for the show. On a Tuesday, what's going on?
Congratulations to the Hunger Games. It's just reached another milestone. It has made it to the list of the top 10 most frequently banned books in America. You may find this hard to believe, but there are still communities across this great nation of ours that chooses to ban books. It won't let people read certain books.
Well, freedom of the press isn't for everybody. It's only for those who have ideas that you agree with, Ralph.
Banning books,
yeah,
to me seems like such an archaic concept that I can't imagine it still happens. But the American Library Association insists that it does, and they release an annual report each year talking about the top 10 movies that certain groups burn and ban and attempt to keep out of the hands, especially of young people.
Movies, you meant books.
I'm sorry, yes, I meant books, yes. Yeah. Usually, as you can imagine, these are books that have challenging ideas about sex or religion or racism. And there are certain people out there who don't think ideas should be shared.
Yeah.
Fascinating to me, that mentality.
You know what we should do? We should ban all of them.
Even the worst ideas that could be in a book. The most heinous, brutal, disgusting points of view. If you don't expose them to people, if you don't teach people these are wrong, look how wrong this is, and give people a comparative between the right and the wrong, how is anyone supposed to learn about any of this stuff? But here's your top 10 list of the most banned books of 2011. This is over the past year.
All right.
To Kill a Mockingbird on the list, number 10. One of the great American books. Gossip Girl series. Oh, Gossip Girl. How did they ban that? I love that book series.
Why would they ban that?
What My Mother Doesn't Know. Apparently that's got some sex stuff in it. Brave New World always ends up on the list. A book called Alice, The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian.
What?
Apparently there's some racist attitude in there that people don't want people reading. My Mom's Having a Baby, A Kid's Month-by-Month Guide to Pregnancy.
Well, that can be very offensive.
Can you imagine teaching a child what their mother is going through when she's pregnant?
What to expect from a new baby?
It sounds inappropriate.
That is completely wrong-headed. The Hunger Games trilogy, number 3 on the list. Oh. Moving up. The Color of Earth. And then a series of books for teens and preteens, I guess it is, that only goes by, you know, the abbreviations for texting, like TTYL, TTFN,
right.
L8R, and G8R. So, yeah.
That's bullshit.
Sounds like your quality summer reading list, kids. So make sure you go out there and get all 10 of those. Congratulations to Ebony and Josh Rendon from the show 16 and Pregnant. They are expecting their second child, so congratulations to those MTV reality show cast members. They say they're extremely excited for their little bundle of joy to come along. Too bad their 2-year-old daughter Jocelyn, who was featured on the show, isn't around to help them celebrate. Because officials from Child Protective Services have removed her from the home.
Are you kidding me?
After finding the couple lived in deplorable, in quotes, living conditions.
Oh, no.
That's sad.
Unsanitary to the point where the child had to be removed from the home.
So they had another one.
Well, sure, Kevin, because
come on.
How are they going to stay in the spotlight? How's MTV going to keep a calling unless they have more kids?
Wow.
I would think that having a baby would be the ultimate in reminding you about birth control. Like, once it happens the first time, you'd go, well, let's make sure that doesn't happen again, because clearly we're unfit as parents.
Well, I don't think they probably see it that way. I think they
I don't think they do either.
See it as the big bad government coming in and stepping all over their rights.
I don't think they recognize how bad they are as parents.
Well, we'll show you. We'll just have another one. We'll just replace that one you took away.
Take this one now, why don't you? You take that one, we're going to have another one. We can make them faster and you can take them.
That's not true, by the way.
No, it isn't really, but I don't think these are the smartest
That's very sad.
People on the block. It's really bad. Chris Humphries is speaking out about his future ex-wife, Kim Kardashian, dating Kanye West.
Okay.
He says he's got no problem with it. You know why? Because he said she had been hooking up with him for at least 2 years before they got married. And he had to make her promise to cut off all communications with Kanye after they said their I do's.
Interesting.
So apparently this has been going on a lot longer than we were aware of.
Where's the outrage there?
I don't think anyone needs to be outraged, Beer Mug. Word is, Chris said he wishes Kanye the best of luck and thinks the two deserve one another. So I don't think he means that in the best possible way.
And then he said under his breath, poor bastard.
Yeah. Good luck, Kanye.
Where's the outrage there?
Yeah, good point. And Lindsay Lohan in the news again. She has been accused of yet another crime.
What now?
She is being investigated for allegedly assaulting a woman at the Standard Hotel in West Hollywood last Thursday. A woman there says Lindsay got into her face when she was talking to a gentleman. Apparently it was a friend of Lindsay's or her boyfriend, or she wanted him to be her boyfriend or something, but an altercation led to pushing and shoving at the Standard Bar. Lindsay and her team, of course, are saying the incident never took place. Which, look, I don't know. Who knows? Who knows?
It wouldn't surprise you either way.
No, it wouldn't, because I think people are a-holes, and even if you saw her there, if you wanted some attention for yourself, or you wanted to money grab and wanted to sue...
Sell a story,
you'd make something up. Or she was there and was boozing and got into a skirmish. So, apparently, they're looking into it, but her team is being very proactive, saying, whomever is responsible for this lie will be held accountable for their misguided actions.
The microphones were there, by the way.
Oh, I didn't know.
Can't really tell who it is.
Sounds like it happened. Sounds like there was some problem there at the Standard. However, if I were on Lindsay's team, I would say, don't go to the Standard. Don't go to any bar. Don't go to any hotel. Yep. Sit your ass at home.
But...
read a book. Open a blog.
Never going to do that.
I know, but she just courts this stuff. The more she goes out, if she wasn't out, she would never be susceptible to these kind of stories if they are making them up about her or getting into problems if it's true.
Yep. Makes perfect sense.
And don't wear a hoodie either. That's what I would tell her. Geraldo Rivera taught me that one. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Steven Seagal, one of our favorite action stars around here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Largely because our buddy Doto is a huge fan of Steven Seagal.
Has that new reality show debuted yet that we heard about?
I believe.
Like this week or this month or something, right?
That guy. What would he need him for?
Oh, come on, Doto. He is 61 years old today. Orlando Jones, comedian actor, is 44. Q-Tip of A Tribe Called Quest is 42 years old. Actor Charlie Hunnam, we had him in on the show for Sons of Anarchy. Yeah. What a good guy. 32 years old. Actor Michael Pitt turns 31. Andre Ethier, outfielder for your Los Angeles Dodgers. He is 30 years old.
Say hi to him today, Burma.
I don't get it.
He had tickets for today. It's opening day.
Yeah?
He had tickets.
Right.
Girlfriend.
Yes.
Gave him away.
What?
Somebody else, yeah.
To his parents.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Yeah. So now how does he get angry at her? Because she's actually doing it for his family.
Yeah, you can't do that. Mandy Moore is 28 years old. Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense turns 24. And A.J. Mikulka of Ally and A.J. She's also in that show I love so much. What the hell's the name of it?
Oh, with the cheerleaders?
No, Wildcats.
Yeah, Wildcats.
Yeah, she's that hot blonde cheerleader. I like her a lot. She's 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Talking to a former longtime police officer and private investigator who has a new book out that is causing quite a bit of chatter. He says that O.J. is innocent and he can prove it. That's coming up in about 50 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Jay Moore joins us later on today as well.
Yesterday, Ralph did a story in the showbiz about Clint Eastwood and how he's suing a furniture company for using his name to sell products. It's a strange story because, you know, they're selling like couches and stuff. Here's what they do when visitors come to your, like, this is one of their slogans. When you're invited into a person's home, you get to see the good, the bad, and the ugly.
See what they did there? Because that's a popular Clint Eastwood movie from the 60s.
When visitors come to your home, the Clint 47 Entertainment Center makes your family room alone look like you live in a perfect world of a million-dollar baby.
That's just terrible copywriting is what that is.
Poorly written.
That is poorly written at all.
But that is what they – that's the kind of stuff that they're doing. So he's like, hey, I didn't really okay this. So
yeah, you got to pay big money to get somebody like Clint Eastwood to endorse your product, if he would even do it at all. So he's – I mean, I think they're definitely trying to trade on his name and likeness and image and reputation. So I think he's got a pretty good case. But yeah, the suit has been filed in Los Angeles Superior Court, according to The Hollywood Reporter. We asked producer Dave if there's any way we could talk to the acting and directing legend. And we have Oscar winner Clint Eastwood on the phone with us right now. Hi, Mr. Eastwood. Welcome back, sir.
What do you want?
Well, we're just calling about this story that we're discussing about the lawsuit that hit the papers last week, sir.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Talk.
Well, I mean, we were just interested in your take on this furniture store, using your likeness and using your names of your movies to try and move furniture.
This goddamn furniture store is in big trouble.
Right.
Yeah, sounds like it, right.
I don't want my fans going into their store, bringing a fistful of dollars, giving it to them for their furniture.
Right.
Right. That's the kind of thing that they're doing, right?
Yeah,
they're putting names of your movie.
That's what they say in their little catalog.
Right.
Well,
right.
Here's what I think of their catalog. Pull!
Oh, wow. I don't know if we had, that's not necessary.
Look, rain and furniture pages.
The Clint 47-inch Entertainment Center sounds like a pretty nice product, though, right?
At least they got the size right. 47 inches.
Yeah.
Of magnum force.
Man, yeah. Where are you that you're shooting a weapon this early?
I'm in my home.
Well, maybe that's not a good idea.
Maybe you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, all right.
I need to worry about when I come to your home.
Okay,
with my gun.
All right.
That's when you've got problems.
All right, Clint. No worries.
What I'm saying?
Yes, yes, very much so.
The people who run this furniture store.
Uh huh.
First of all, listen to their names. Alan Finkelstein. There's a name for you.
Well, what's wrong with that? There's nothing.
Alan. Oh, I'm Alan.
What's wrong with the name Alan?
I hate Alans.
All right.
All Alans.
All of them.
I've never met a one goddamn good Alan in my life.
All right.
You know what I want to do to Alan?
What?
I want to pin him down and give him the Dirty Harry.
Oh, no.
Look it up.
Doesn't sound good.
I don't want to look it up.
I'm afraid there might be a photo.
I want to turn him every which way but loose.
Oh, come on.
You know what? Man, this is beneath you.
Yeah, you don't have to make bad movie jokes. Come on.
I'm going to hang him high.
All right. Listen, the point is we think you got a good suit, and we just wanted to hear from you. What kind of damages do you feel have been done to your reputation?
I'm going to give him sudden impact.
Okay. Yeah.
Black Keys, by the way, one of the bands also that's going to be stopping by the K-Rock Coachella House. You're definitely going to want to be listening all weekend long if you're not able to go out there. Coming up in a minute, we're going to talk to William C. Deere, a former police officer and private investigator who has written a new book about the O.J. case. Remember this song from back in the day, Kevin?
It's beautiful.
O.J.
Sing it if you know it.
What happened to you?
Remember how obsessed we and the world was with that case?
They said you did it.
That was,
we know it's not true.
What, 18 years ago or something like that?
Yeah.
Praying every day. God bless you.
Don't blame the Jews. Don't blame the Jews. That's what the song says, and that's kind of what William C. Deere is saying in his new book, which is called O.J. is Innocent and I Can Prove It. We have been wanting to have this man on the air since we first found out about the book. Please welcome him to the show, and thank you for joining us, Mr. Deere. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much for having me.
Is this a case that you were interested in at the time and it took this long to get the materials together to come out with the book, or is it something you just kind of turned your attention to in the last few years?
No, what happened was, the reason I got into this, I was speaking for the International Council of Reporters and Editors like Newsweek and Time at their annual convention in St. Louis, Missouri, when this so-called car chase scene was going on. They asked me about what I thought. And I said it's something concocted probably by his lawyer, screaming, hollering later that he couldn't get a fair trial due to the undue publicity. My son, I'm a single parent, said to me, Dad, you're assuming he's guilty? And I said, well, look at what they're saying. He said, yes, but you make me put up signs every time you teach homicide, never assume and always verify. So he had me. I flew out within a few days on a Saturday night, waited till Sunday when approximately time frame was laid out, climbed over that back gate behind Nicole's, walked that walkway, sat at her front door, realized that there was a glass where she could see who it was. In L.A., you certainly don't open your door or gates without knowing exactly who it is. Then I looked and saw the blood from Nicole and blood from Goldman, some of it still there. Listened to what I had been told about O.J. and then realized that O.J. had been at the crime scene but didn't commit the murder. And if that was the case, who did do it?
All right. So that was 1994. Now it's 2012.
18 years and 6 weeks from now.
Why so long?
Well, first of all, I started investigating it. And then I stopped and wrote a book about 11 years ago and thought, okay, I've done my best. I've given it, you know, if they're not interested, LAPD is not interested, I should stop. But then I thought, okay, this is kind of like a fishing book. If all of a sudden I get some hard evidence along with my investigation, that's fine. Well, sure enough, I got a phone call that says, I have what you need. What is it? And I flew out to Los Angeles, met with the senior silent partner of Jackson's Restaurant at 8908 Beverly Boulevard, where a suspect was working on June 12th. And he said, Mr. Deere, I tried to give this to LAPD. It took them 2 weeks to come out. They didn't care, act like they didn't give a damn, but I do, and I want you to have it. And it was where Jason Simpson had altered his time card on the night of June 12th. Well, that was a big buzz. At that point...
All right, now, Jason is O.J. Simpson's oldest son, who you claim was the one who did it.
Well, he's my major suspect. You have to consider this. Jason was 24 at the time, 5'11", 235, and for your listeners, he was on probation for assaulting his previous employer with a knife.
Right.
That should have been a red flag right there.
Right.
Then we became involved in it with this time card. I looked at it and I said, oh, my God, that gives him 55 minutes prior to the murders. Then we started digging, and sure enough, we found that just weeks prior to this, he checked into Cedar Sinai Hospital emergency room, told the physician on attendance that he was out of his Depakote and about to rage. Now, we all know this was a rage killing by an amateur, according to Marsha Clark and everybody else, Hodgman. So when you look at this, you realize all of a sudden we have somebody who's taking Depakote to control his rage. It's also used for epilepsy, but in this case, it was used for what they call intermittent rage disorder. I ended up having I was able to look at his medical records.
Right.
And when you looked at it, he says in there, I don't like women to lie to me. He's been in a psychiatric unit, 3 attempted suicide, 1 where he stabbed himself with scissors in the stomach, cut his wrist with broken glass, and then took an overdose, and we then tracked down his girlfriend.
Okay. What about, and this is what cinched it for me, because I think I watched pretty much every minute of the trial.
He's gone, by the way. You can ask your question, but I think it's going to take a minute to get him back on.
Oh, did he hang up?
Oh, we got disconnected. They're dialing him up again. Go ahead.
What about all the evidence?
Well, yeah, we gotta find out what the...
There's that.
And the LAPD, by the way, I mean, and maybe he'll tell us that they had in mind that O.J. did it all along and all the evidence that they wanted to gather would head in that direction. But it seems like they would have been certainly aware of Jason Simpson and would have, you know, at least considered a number of other suspects. I think we have Mr. Deere back on.
Okay. We got hit by lightning.
See, this is what happens when you start talking out of school, man.
Yeah.
When I talk about this case, it shows you lightning can strike us in the butt.
You think the LAPD did it?
I don't know. The way I will tell you this. Remember the socks that were found at the foot of the bed?
Yeah.
Okay, we know how meticulous O.J. was, putting his clothes away, bed being made.
Okay.
At the foot of the bed, he found no blood in the hamper, no blood in the shower, no blood anywhere except those 5 drops inside the foyer down below.
Okay, hold on right there.
Okay.
There was blood. There was O.J.'s blood everywhere.
No,
and I think
wasn't.
That's what everybody was saying. There was his blood at the scene. There was her blood in the car. I mean, it was a mountain of evidence against O.J. He would have had to spend 6 hours framing himself.
Let's look at that. The blood, let's go to the socks first. The blood on the socks contained blood from the colon O.J., but they also contained in that blood EDTA. The only way you're going to get that amount of EDTA is from a vial of blood that had to have been taken from somebody. We know that O.J., when he arrived back from Chicago, was taken down to the jail where he volunteered to go with Lang and Van Etter. the jail nurse, thanatopoulos, 38 years, a nice man, who drew 8 cc's of blood and then looked at O.J.'s knuckle that was cut, offered to put a Band-Aid on it, but that was the only mark on O.J. Now, when he took the blood, he put it in the cap that has a purple cover and shook it so that it mixed with EDTA. Van Etter asked for the blood. It was put into his pocket, which is not protocol. Normally, okay, it's shipped right over to the crime lab.
Hmm.
So the blood, in addition, on the socks went from side to side, which means there could be no foot in it. Now, that right there should be another big major red flag. But then you have our suspect who at the night on June 12th was supposed to be cooking for Nicole and 13 other people after the recital with Justin, where Sydney was involved, where O.J. attended. But here's the big kicker. She never showed up. She left him. And you don't do something like that, who describes himself in his diary, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, I'm the year of the knife for me. I cut away my problems with the knife. And we have his diaries for 91, 92, and 93. And in addition to that, we have him wearing the knit cap that we believe that was found at the crime scene. In the trial, they introduced the knit cap. Supposedly they thought O.J.'s hair was there. It was hair from an Afro-American, but they could not determine it was O.J. The same as they could not determine the blood underneath her fingernail.
All right, let me just butt in because I just want to say that everything you're saying is...
facts. Come on, stretch it. It's fact because
it's circumstantial at best. It doesn't overcome all of the evidence that was presented against O.J. It just doesn't.
Oh, sure it does. Look at the fact that how do you fight with Ron Goldman? 27 stab wounds, no blood on the brake, no blood on accelerator. And I don't care what you say, there was only the amount of blood that would fit on my thumbnail in that entire Bronco. Did you know that? And Marsha Clark had made the statement it was full of blood.
Hmm. Well, where's Jason Simpson today, Mr. Deere?
Last we heard, he lost his job in Miami, Florida. He'd been in Atlanta, lost a couple of jobs there, went back down to Miami as a shoe chef and lost his job there, phone disconnected. We have no idea.
Do you have people that say you are not seriously still talking about the O.J. Simpson
No,
case?
They like it because of the fact. In this book, I've taken from day one, I wrote a book 11 years ago, like I said, we've incorporated into this 18-year search for the truth. When you find that we even have what is now, according to experts, in all probability, the murder weapon that we got out of his storage facility, listen, people are still believing in this case. They believe in what I've done. My credentials speak for itself. I'm certainly not some nut coming out of the woodwork. In this book, everything I've said is documented. Everything is in there and is verified.
What kind of reactions are you getting from the prosecutors that worked on the case at the time?
I doubt it. I'm sure they wished I'd dig a hole and fall into it so they could bury me.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that you have enough, if you were a judge in Los Angeles County, would you look at what you presented in the book? Would you consider reopening a case like this based on the evidence you've brought forward?
One of the judges said to me personally, this necessitates a grand jury hearing. With what you've got, I would have no hesitation whatsoever. That's even said in my book.
Did he do it? Did he do it then?
Who?
The judge?
No, he's a Texas judge.
Oh.
Yeah. He's not one who can reopen this case.
Oh, no, but he would if we could get – and there is a way under the law that we could, but I'd rather it be in California. That's exactly what I've tried to do. I would love a grand jury hearing. Look at the facts. Look at the knife. Look at the hilt of the knife. This was a replica of a Gerber Mark I designed for one purpose only, to cut and to kill, double-bladed knife. When the expert who wrote Gunshot and Knife Wounds inspected it, the hilt had been removed. It was rugged edges of metal poured in with wax, and it matched the lacerations in Nicole's skull and certainly matched the lacerations and the stabs to Ron Goldman.
Let me ask you this question in our final moments here with author William Deere. Again, the book is called O.J. is Innocent, and I Can Prove It, and it is available everywhere. You can go to Bill's website for more on the book, too, at BillDeere.com. And that is... it sounds like you think the jury made the right decision in the criminal complaint against Mr. Simpson by acquitting him, but did they do it because they thought somebody else did it, or did they do it because they just didn't want to convict O.J. Simpson of murder because they liked him and they thought he was framed?
According to a book that they wrote, they were interviewed and said, based on the evidence, when I watched that trial, I felt at that time it was going to be a not guilty verdict. I didn't think it'd come in that quick, but I felt it would be a not guilty verdict because of what I knew that they were not telling in front of the grand jury and in front of the trial jury. But I promise you, O.J. was at the crime scene, but after the murders.
So you think he covered for his son, that he knew his son did it?
I do.
I mean, that would at least
say you've got to understand something. My reputation's been out there for a long time. I've been involved in some of the high-profile cases that we've solved, murders and kidnappings all over the world. I don't take this lightly. This is my nickel. I'll never make back what I've spent on it, but if I can get a grand jury hearing and justice, then I will feel, as I've told both my boys, then by gosh, I had the opportunity and had the talent to do it, and I did it.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there, but our listeners certainly now at least know about the book, and they can pick it up and read it for themselves and make up their own mind. O.J. is Innocent and I Can Prove It is the name of the volume. William C. Deere, thanks for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
It's my oboe impression.
It's very nice.
Or my cello impression.
106.7
K-Rock. Something ends in an O.
It's KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Our old friend Gustavo Arellano is going to join us. He has asked a Mexican fame, has written a new book called Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America. He better have brought some goddamn Mexican food in here if we're going to sit here and talk to him about it coming up next, by the way.
You
know, nothing makes you hungrier than talking about food. So Gustavo joins us, and we'll take your calls for Ask a Mexican coming up on the Kevin DeMichel. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Movie news. Martin Scorsese has announced his next project will be a film biography of Frank Sinatra.
Yes, please.
Chairman of the board, one of the greatest Italian-American singers of all time. His story told by one of the greatest Italian-American directors of all time. A match made in heaven.
Sure.
There's only one problem.
What?
Nobody can play Frank Sinatra.
Really?
Yes.
That's just your opinion, or yes, they're having trouble finding?
That's my opinion.
Oh, I see.
I'm sure they will find someone, and someone will play him, but I'm telling you that no one can play him.
Weird Al?
Oh, wait a minute. Now, what did I think of that?
See?
And now the end is near. The accordion? That'd be awesome.
Who's the guy I'm thinking of, Ralph, that played him in a pretty successful TV miniseries?
Gallagher.
No?
No, it wasn't comedian Gallagher? Smashing watermelons with a hammer?
Gosh, this is killing me that I can't think of his name. Who's that very good actor who's in the Goodfellas movie, the guy who's got the honked up face?
Goodfellas movie honked up face.
Yeah, I think I know. He's got all the acne on his face.
Giant nose.
Ray Liotta?
Yes, Ray Liotta played him on a TV movie.
Yeah.
And did a pretty credible job, but I don't think he's Scorsese movie quality.
But can he sing?
Philip Kazanoff played him in another mini. There's been a ton of TV movies about him. But here's the thing. When you look at that person, Sinatra is one of the most recognizable people on the planet.
Right.
You can't help but be pulled out of any story about Sinatra and you're watching someone else play Sinatra because it's so obviously not Sinatra. There are certain iconic entertainment figures that are just almost impossible to tell a story.
But then again, you could say that about Marilyn Monroe, and look at what a phenomenal job Michelle Williams did.
And look
recently.
How much she equally looked almost identical to Marilyn Monroe. She was an uncanny resemblance to Marilyn Monroe.
Right, but I'm just saying that's another iconic figure that you would think nobody could play her because her image is so ingrained into our consciousness, but Michelle Williams managed to do it. There might be somebody out there who can do the same for Frank, right?
How do you recreate Frank Sinatra's biggest hit?
Holy! There you go.
David Lynch could pull it off?
Morris Crusade says, the only problem with the film is where do you start? I'd love to tell the whole story of Frank Sinatra, but the movie would be 15 hours long.
Yeah.
So he says he's talking to HBO. Maybe they'll do it as a miniseries as opposed to a feature film, depending on how long the script ends up being, which he's working on now with a writer. So.
And people who don't know anything about Sinatra, look at the hype around your Justin Biebers and your One Directions and your stuff today, and then multiply that by 100 to see how big a teen idol Frank Sinatra was at the time.
Yeah. Started off as a teen idol and went into movies, became an Oscar winner, went into a tailspin. His career was over pretty much, and then he bounced back and became one of the biggest entertainers in the world. So it's a great story. It's certainly worth telling, but I just think they're going to be hard-pressed to find somebody who can pull off the charisma and style that Frank Sinatra had his whole career. Ben Kingsley is reportedly in talks to play the villain in the upcoming Iron Man 3 sequel.
Fantastic.
Comic book fans were very excited because we thought he was going to be the Mandarin, didn't you? Didn't you guys Mandarin when you heard Ben Kingsley?
Obviously.
But no, apparently they're going to create a new villain for the piece.
Obviously.
Robert Downey Jr., of course, will return. Gwyneth Paltrow, Don Cheadle, and Scarlett Johansson will be returning as the Black Widow for the film.
So fantastic.
People are very exciting. And lastly, more movie news. This is a fascinating story, and I'm surprised they're going to tell it. But I'm excited that they are.
All right.
I don't know if you know anything about the late Walt Disney, other than he, of course, created Disneyland and was a mogul that oversaw an entire empire of filmmaking.
I know his head's frozen.
Empire. His head is frozen,
that's
of course.
All I know.
Yes, he's under the churro stand in Disneyland in a cryogenic chamber. But he tried 14 years to get the rights to make Mary Poppins.
Right.
Apparently, the woman who wrote the book, P.L. Travers, was just a bitch.
Really?
And didn't want anyone to make the movie. And he was insistent. He loved the book and desperately wanted to make the movie. So for 14 years, they went back and forth with this long, protracted sort of interaction where he would visit her and they would talk and he would write her and they'd go back and forth. And there was this long story about how he even got the rights to be able to make that film, which was one of his biggest hits ever, yeah. Mary Poppins. So they're making a movie called Saving Mr. Banks, which is the story of Walt Disney trying to get the rights to make this movie. Tom Hanks will play Walt Disney in the film.
Huh.
And Emma Thompson will play the author P.L. Travers, who wrote the book. So, interesting story. I don't know if anyone else besides myself would want to go see that, but it's very interesting. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Steven Seagal, legendary action hero, now legendary waist size. He is 61 years old today. Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest is 42. Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy turns 32 years old today. Andre Ethier. Outfielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers. He is 30 years old. Mandy Moore is 28. Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense turns 24. And A.J. Mikulka of A.J. and Ally. She is 21 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Mentally, Kevin, you've already checked out for Coachella. You already know you're leaving on Thursday, and that's all you're thinking about, I bet, right?
Perhaps.
Yeah. Well, you can join, Kevin. We've got 3-day passes to Coachella. We're giving away all week long here on the World Famous Carrick, including on the Kevin Amin Show at 9 o'clock this morning. You can win your tickets also at noon, 3, 6, and 9 o'clock. Details at KRock.com. And don't forget, you also get access to the Coachella house while you're out there. Gustavo Arellano, how are you, my friend?
Hey, ¿qué tal? What's going on?
Welcome back. Ask a Mexican, of course, is how we first became familiar with Mr. Arellano's work. But you've written a book about that and then the Orange County book. And now you're back with a brand new book that is going to make me starving to discuss, which is all about Mexican food. Why is this a topic for a book, Gustavo?
Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America, actually comes out today. And it talks about, again, how Mexican food conquered America. So
let me
everything.
Stop you right there. Did you, and if the answer is no, you're gone.
Sure.
Bring some Mexican food.
You guys did not tell me. I would have brought California burritos.
What do all do? You read a book about Mexican food, and then we're going to talk about it, and then we have no Mexican food.
I think from now on, I'm going to be going around with a cooler of burritos, just like they do in Denver.
You sort of have to.
You have to with this book, because in this book, I talk about basically all the different types of Mexican, the history of Mexican food here in the United States. So you give history, sociology, but also you have to describe every single type of Mexican food imaginable. Like I know being up, you know, up there in the north in Washington, you guys have tater tots with your Mexican food.
Really? Yes, I have seen that on the menu. Yes, yeah. I have seen that. Why is that?
That's taco time. It's taco time northwest and also taco time in Washington and the upper Midwest. They don't call them tater tots. They call them potato olays or Mexi fries. And that goes back, I talk about it in the book, it goes back to the creator of the original taco time from Eugene. What was his name? Ron Frederick. Yes, Ron Frederick. And I guess he liked tater tots and he wanted Mexican food, but he didn't want to make potatoes, so he decided to make tater tots. So
I need some tater tots now.
Yeah. Oh, you have
we're,
not.
We're lived, too hungry to have this interview. Gustavo, I'm sorry.
You have not lived life until you have a tater tot breakfast burrito.
But let me ask you this. This may be a really stupid question, but you're always our guy for stupid questions. And that is, how much of what we consider Mexican food in the United States, when we go to all of the various restaurants that we go to, including, you know, the fast food ones all the way up to the high-end Mexican restaurants that we all know about, how much of that kind of food is what they actually serve in Mexico and how much of it is an Americanized version of that food?
It depends on what kind of food you have. But here's the thing. In Mexico themselves, not every type of Mexican is going to eat Mexican food. So in Oaxaca, which is a state all the way down south in Mexico, they eat grasshoppers. They fry up grasshoppers and they serve them quesadillas. Exactly. Most Mexicans, they retch at the idea, but for them, it's a delicacy. It's like eating truffles. So similarly here in the United States, Taco Bell, I'm not going to eat Taco Bell. I'm not a fan of Taco Bell.
I love it.
You see, I like Del Taco. Del Taco is better.
I like Del Taco as well.
Del Taco is better for fast food, but some people are going to say, oh, Taco Bell, Del Taco, they're not authentic because it was white men who created these businesses. But that's bold. This whole idea of authenticity, it just doesn't exist. There's different types of Mexican food. There's regional traditions. And so if you think it's Mexican food, it's Mexican food.
Oh, interesting.
All right.
Fantastic. How about this? When you go to Mexico, are there lots of restaurants you can go into that serve what we would consider is not Mexican food? Where you can just go in, you can just get a hamburger, you can get a steak, or you can get a fried chicken, or you can get waffles or whatever it is you want that's not, you know, the taco, burrito, enchilada.
Oh, yeah. If you go down to Sonora, right across the border from Arizona, the reason we have so many bacon-wrapped hot dogs right now in Southern California is because of the Sonoran dog, which came from Mexico. So you get a bacon-wrapped hot dog, you put it in a bun, you put some mayonnaise, some ketchup, some mustard, some grilled onions, grilled jalapenos.
I need one of those right now.
Oh, my God. They're amazing. So they started in Sonora, so totally Mexican, skipped over to Tucson, went back to Tijuana, and, of course, they've been going up I-5 ever since. But now we call them border dogs, street dogs, danger dogs, and they're super, super sized.
They're danger dogs because if you go to Tijuana to get them, you might get your head cut off.
No, not anymore. That was 2010. Now you're fine.
Gustavo, why are you not 500 pounds after doing the research for this book?
Because I'm also the editor of the OC Weekly, so I have to stress out with all sorts of attempted lawsuits every day. There was one recently. A woman, she wanted to sue us because we took a picture of her 16-year-old daughter who was drunk, and she held up a sign offering sexual favors to some musician.
Right.
So she said, this picture is going to cause damage, and you know, it caused damage to my daughter for the rest of her life. And I said, well, no, actually, a mother who lets her 16-year-old daughter and 13-year-old friend get drunk and go to a concert with a sign offering sexual favors to the musician, that's going to cause a danger
to
your daughter.
That might be a bigger problem.
Exactly.
That's
fantastic. How long have you been the editor of that?
I just became the editor in December.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's really great.
Yeah, every time I come here, I seem to have another promotion.
You
so
do.
Maybe next time around, I'll be publisher or something.
The book, by the way, that Gustavo has just out today is called Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America. Now, who's the audience for something like this? Because Kevin and I were talking about this before you came in. Is this predominantly foodies, people who are just obsessed with food? Or is it for history buffs or Latino studies people? Or who are you going for here?
Anyone who likes Mexican food in this country, and that would be everyone in the United States.
Yeah.
The book opens up with a dinner that I had with Tom Tite Credo, that crazy former congressman from Colorado who would always go on ranting about Mexicans. So in 2010, we actually had a debate in Denver. And before that, we had tamales.
I thought it – really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
True. I thought it opened up with space.
It opened up in space as well. It's a long introduction. So actually
right.
It opens up with the single most momentous moment in the history of mankind when in 2000 – I think it was 2010 as well, Mexicans made – breakfast burritos for their fellow spacemates in outer space.
I need a breakfast burrito right now.
A space burrito.
I need a space burrito.
You should go to Gustavo's website, GustavoAriano.net. I'll let you figure out how to spell it, and you can see all of his upcoming appearances, including you doing some speaking engagements today at 1 and at 7, right?
Yeah, 1 o'clock is going to be at UCLA, my alma mater. Go Bruins. Maybe we'll actually win a football game one day. And then at 7 o'clock, it's going to be at La Plaza. It's a museum right near Vera Street. And then Thursday, I'm going to have a signing at the Fullerton Library. Yeah, all the information at GustavoAriano.net. Is a double L, so that's not too hard.
Are you bringing food to these appearances?
Because
you're going to have a riot.
At the Fullerton Library, I'm trying to get my all-time favorite taco truck. It's called Alebrijes, and it's a pink taco truck.
Okay.
And they serve the greatest taco in the United States called the Taco Acorazado, which in Spanish, in English, it's the battleship taco.
I need the battleship taco right now.
Oh, my God. It's an amazing taco. So imagine a fresh corn tortilla. Then you put a bed of rice. Then you put breaded beef and chicken on top of that.
La, 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 la.
This is just torture. Gustavo, you're killing us. Although I'll never forget today that you came in and talked about a pink taco on the Kevin Abbey. That's never going to escape my memory. All right, listen. Hey, since you're here, you drove yourself all the way out here. Would you mind if we took a few phone calls for Ask a Mexican? Because we haven't done that in a long time on the Kevin Abbey Show, and that is your specialty.
Absolutely. And this time, folks, just let's talk about food. I can tell you the best burritos, menudo, pozole in Southern California. Beyond.
That's good.
Yeah, so I'll just make you even hungrier.
Okay, so if you've got Mexican food questions, I can't believe this sentence is coming out of my mouth, but if you have Mexican food questions, we're taking your calls right now. 1-800-520-1067. That is our toll-free number. The book, again, is called Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America. More with our guest and your calls. Gustavo Arellano is here on the Kevin and Bean.
Local H. It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin and Bean Show at 724.
Gustavo Arellano in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Always fun to welcome our favorite Ask a Mexican guy back to the studio. He's got a new book out called Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America. He is killing us today, by the way. He is torturing us with all of these tales of delicious Mexican food all over the country, and we have none of it in front of us. Kevin and I, a few years ago, Gustavo, went up to Barrow, Alaska, believe it or not, which is the northernmost town in North America. Small place, only a few thousand people. It gets so cold there for much of the season you can't drive into it. I mean, you can only fly in and out, basically, because, you know, the roads end at the trees. And I think they had like 2,000 people or something like that. Sure enough, they got a Mexican restaurant there. Yeah. That's one of like the three restaurants in town is a Mexican restaurant. You can't survive without it.
And it was pretty good.
It was pretty decent. Yeah,
I wouldn't have thought so, you know, that far north. But wow, it was really good.
Interesting.
So we're taking your calls right now. If you have any Mexican food questions for Gustavo, again, the book Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America, 1-800-520-1067. Hit it, Esteban.
Mexican Americans don't like to get up early.
Did somebody order Mexican?
All right, let's squeeze in as many as we can in what time we have. Why don't we start with our man, Mike? He's on line one, and he joins us on the Kevin Bean Show. Mike, you're on with Gustavo. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, Gustavo, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I live in the Sacramento Valley. I know you're from Orange County, but where is the best place to get a carne asada burrito out here?
Oh, my God. What's the name of this freaking place? I think it's in Sun Valley. Sun Valley, maybe San Fernando itself, one of those. Ah, freaking... Oh, I was about to say something else.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, yeah, but no, it's a. I think it has a name, Jerez, in it, Jerez, because the people from there, they're from the part of Mexico where I'm from. But that is an amazing carne asada burrito, and you could also get other traditions. I wish I could remember the name of it, but just type in Jerez Mexican Restaurant San Fernando Valley on Google, and that should take care of you.
Fantastic.
Cool.
Thank you for the question.
Let's try Austin, line two. Austin, make us hungry, man. What's your question for Gustavo Arellano?
Hello, Austin.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Good, thank you.
Morning, Lisa May.
Not here.
Hey, that works. Hey, real quickly, I've lived in Southern California my whole life, tried every kind of Mexican food. I've heard of a dish recently called enfrijoladas. I know nothing about it. Is that a dish that you can get in a restaurant?
Oh, yeah. Enfrijoladas are Oaxacan. It's from the state of Oaxaca. So an enfrijolada, basically, they get their tortillas, which are as big as a basketball hoop. Not flour tortillas, but they're humongous. And then they fold them up and they smear them with a black bean paste that's mixed up with lard. So you
can need that right now.
Oh, my God. And then you top it with some quesillo, which is Oaxacan stringy milk cheese. And so you could find at any Mexican Oaxaca. It has to be a Oaxacan restaurant, though. It's not going to be a regular Mexican restaurant. The best one, of course, is Guelaguetza. Which, yeah, you could try to spell that one out. But that one's in Koreatown, huge Mexican Oaxacan restaurant, icon in the Oaxacan community here.
All right. Thank you for the
call. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Brandon. He's on line five. He has a general Mexican food question for Gustavo. Hi, Brandon. Welcome to the program. What do you got?
Hi, guys. Hi. I was just wondering, since Mexican food is so delicious, why do you guys always drown it in hot sauce?
Because hot sauce has been shown to not only improve your digestion, but it also brings out the palate. It opens up the palate so you could absorb more of the good food flavors. You're not always going to put hot sauce in every particular meal, although it seems so. For instance, you're not going to put it on a cactus salad. You mix up some cactus, you mix up some cheese and some onions. You're not going to put hot sauce on that just because it doesn't go with it.
I don't want a cactus salad. It doesn't sound good.
It's super good and it's super healthy. But yeah, no, hot sauce, there's a reason why there's over 100 chilies in Mexico, and it's because we need them all to make salsa and to make our food better.
Why do you guys put it on stuff like popcorn and just the most absurd things? It kills me.
Oh, no, it makes it better. It makes popcorn that much better. You put it on Doritos.
Hot sauce on popcorn?
Yeah.
I don't want that either.
But hot sauce, I mean, it's not just Mexicans who believe this now. Look at what happened with Frito-Lay. They entered into an agreement with Tapatio to make Tapatio-flavored Ruffles, Tapatio-flavored Fritos, Tapatio-flavored Doritos. That's the future of this country. We're going to drown all of you, not just with Mexicans, but with salsa as well. It's a wonderful future.
Brandon, thank you for the call. Hey, is it true, and maybe I heard this a couple years ago, that salsa outsells ketchup as a condiment in the United States now, Gustavo?
It's an interesting answer. In other words, in bulk numbers, by profit, yes, salsa outsells ketchup. But that's because most salsa bottles, they're going to be bigger than your average ketchup bottles your ketchup bottles. But in terms of bulk quantity, ketchup still outsells salsa. Because remember, with ketchup, you have all those small little ketchup packs. You have things. So just in terms of bulk sales. But in terms of money, yeah, salsa does outsell. And that happened in 1993.
Wow, that's quite a while ago. Let's go to Brian. He's calling about a Mexican specialty, I guess, that I am unfamiliar with, but I know you'll know. Brian, welcome to the show. You're on with Gustavo.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, you know what? I think you can pretty much find good carne asada anywhere. The problem I've been having is finding good al pastor. I can't find good al pastor anywhere.
What's al pastor?
Al pastor is essentially pork on a top up a spit. So you basically shave off this wonderful pork that you marinate in a salsa, you marinate with orange,
right now.
And more importantly, you marinate with pineapple. The best al pastor that I like, it's in Orange County. It's called Taqueria Tapatia, which is near the corner of Bristol and First Street. There you'll see, I mean, the pork is like super bright orange. You shave it off. And that actually comes from traditions of Lebanese. It's called al pastor, meaning from the shepherd, because Lebanese shepherds came to Mexico in the early 20th century, and they brought their shawarma tradition. You know, if you go to like our hero, it's exactly the same concept, but it's with pork.
I need that right now.
It's unbelievable how many different foods people are calling about. I think most of us can name like four, maybe five Mexican foods, but this is incredible. Mike, for instance, he's on line six. He's got another one that I don't even know what it is. Mike, hi, you're on with Gustavo. Go ahead.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good.
Good. Where can I get the best chambrado?
Ooh, champurrado. Champurrado is basically, it's a gruel. And I know we all think of gruel as being from Charles Dickens, Oliver Twist. Like, can I have more gruel?
Is this your version of pink slime?
No. You make champurrado. It's based off masa, which is the base for corn, but you make it into a drink, and then you spike it with some brown sugar, some piloncillo. You can make it with chocolate. It's amazing. The best champurrado that I know, you're going to find that at El Toro Meat Market in Santa Ana, which that one's going to be on First, a little bit west of Bristol. Super hot, super piping. It's our version of coffee, essentially. Although there's also a Mexican type of coffee that's really good as well.
Yeah, I need both of those.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Lynn, line eight. Here's another one. Boy, Gustavo, people are coming out of the woodwork for this topic.
They love their Mexican food.
Hey, Lynn.
Oh, hey. I used to have these little creatures that I raised in my aquarium. They were called axolotls, and they're sort of a salamander. They look like triceratops, dinosaurs. And someone told me that they were kind of a delicacy in certain regions in Mexico. Have you ever heard of this, and is there any being sold or cooked here in L.A.?
Yes. So that actually goes back to the pre-Hispanic diet, so the diet that the Aztecs and other people used to eat before the Spaniards came and raped and killed everyone. And so you can still find them in certain restaurants. There used to be a restaurant, it's still in Linwood, called La Huasteca. They would sell these pre-Hispanic dinners, but the woman who used to do those, she's no longer there. She just opened up a restaurant up in the San Fernando Valley. Go to LA Weekly Squid Ink blog, and you could find the name of the woman. I can't remember her name right now, but you can find such type of food here in Southern California right now.
What, is there a best Mexican food restaurant in Southern California? Is there one where you go, if I had to pick one?
It's, oh, my God. No, you know, there's so many, and depending on what you want. Like, you know, I was telling you guys earlier, the best chile relleno burrito in Southern California, if not the United States. Lucy's number two on the corner of Pico and La Brea here in Los Angeles.
It's pretty close.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
We need to get that.
It's nice and greasy. You wash it down.
Chip, get in the car now.
Wash it down with Orange Bang, and you're set.
Orange Bang.
Oh, the great drink of all Mexicans. It's not horchata. It's Orange Bang.
Gustavo, we are out of time, but you are a miracle, my friend. I can't believe that you've scammed your way into being paid to write a book about Mexican food. God bless you. You can go to GustavoArellano.net for all the details about his upcoming appearances, including speaking today in UCLA and then tonight at the La Plaza near Alvera Street downtown. And then I guess you got an event Thursday at the Fullerton Public Library as well. The book is called Taco USA, How Mexican Food Conquered America. And be sure to follow Gustavo as the editor of OC Weekly. Thanks for coming in, my friend. The always hilarious Jay Moore joins us in studio in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He was very well received at April Foolishness on Saturday night. Didn't you feel like he was the one that most people had come to see you to, by the way?
I believe so, yes.
Jay Moore. He's definitely the crowd favorite. But, man, what a night. Can't wait to talk to Jay again. Beer Mug's going to weigh in here just a minute. But first, we got to take a look at some email. We're getting so many emails from our Kevin and Bean listeners on so many topics. None more so than listener Tim from Hermosa, who we had on yesterday, who was complaining about all of his friends who are abbreviating everything.
Oh, yeah, it was driving him crazy.
Yeah, like nothing can ever be just the word anymore. Everything has to be totes instead of totally. And it was just driving him crazy.
Going on vacay, that kind of stuff.
Got a lot of emails on that topic, including a couple I'll read. One from Anne. My 92-year-old mom used to get horribly embarrassed when people would call political science poli-sci. I think it's embarrassing and pretentious when people abbreviate band names like Blink instead of Blink-182 or My Chem instead of My Chemical Romance. What do you guys think?
That's interesting.
I hadn't thought about that because I think we all do it.
It never bothered me, but I'll tell you the one that does bother me, Talica. and that's what the guys in the band call it.
Yeah, that's coming right from Lars himself.
That bugs me.
Yeah, that is interesting. Ann also adds, P.S., why is Billie Jean King doing your traffic? I can't help you there. I don't know the answer to that, but Lisa is on vacation. Hey, speaking of bands, here's Fred who writes in. You know what's driving me crazy is the Red Hots, or RHCP for Red Hot Chili Peppers, and also Social D for Social Distortion.
Oh, Social D is an accepted version of that band, isn't it?
I mean, I think we accept it. I don't know. I guess it bugs him. Here's one who moves on to other topics that bug him. This is Steve writing in. I could not agree more with the abbreves issue that the caller had, but my biggest pet peeves right now are the overusage of the following. I mean, people are saying this way too much when it's not necessary. In fact, I heard it twice in the previous break from Bean himself. People who say things like, I mean, I had a lot to drink, so I have to go to the bathroom. You don't need the word I mean. He also is driven crazy by actually. When somebody says, what are you doing today? You don't have to answer, actually, I'm going to a restaurant. Not necessary. And also any form of honesty, as let me be honest, or to be honest with you, or I'm not going to lie.
That's my favorite because I think that's always followed by a lie.
He says, when people say, I'm not going to lie or let me be honest with you, it makes it sound like they were lying or not being honest previously.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. This stuff is getting to me. Actually, I thought you'd be interested. That's from Steve.
Yeah, you all need to get over it because you're gonna blow a cap in somebody's ass. All right. We were talking earlier this morning about stuff found in body parts. Bean brought up a story. We might have to do a call-in topic on this one. Because he was stuff found in nose, ears.
Yeah, they researched 100 emergency rooms to find out the thousands of items that people had gotten stuck in their nose and in their ears and in their private parts and stuff. And it's just it's amazing how many things end up inside of people to the point where they get stuck and you need medical assistance to remove them.
So Brent wrote about his 3-year-old. My 3-year-old daughter put stuffing from her comforter twice in her nose.
That was also on the list. That was one of the things that was on the list, is somebody who put, stuffing from inside a stuffed animal in
the
his nose.
First time, it took about a month to realize. Went to the doctor 2 to 3 times with antibiotics prescribed, thinking it was a sinus infection. Later, had to go to an EMT for the removal. That wasn't pretty. About 3 to 4 hours long.
Wow.
How long does it take to remove that from your nose?
I don't know.
Don't put stuff in your nose, people. That's a tip.
Here's a follow-up email on the conversation we had last week. This is from Danielle. She's writing in about the girl that we talked about who caused a sensation with that article she wrote for one of the British newspapers about how she was so pretty and how difficult it made her life.
I'm too hot, yeah.
Danielle sort of thinks she makes a point, by the way. I think the point of her story is exposing the elephant in the room that attractive people get more attention and more perks over unattractive people. I've seen it all my life. I get perks when I go out, and it's uncomfortable. I'm not trying to, but it happens. I've gotten a job because of my looks. I've gotten free service because of my looks. I've gotten free food, too. I'm not even that pretty, in my opinion. I have friends that are totally prettier than I am, and they also get perks. Interestingly, I personally hate it when my friend is getting the attention and not me.
Sure.
Jealous? Yes, that's what it is. Human nature. Winning the attention of another person can be a competition, and it can be thrilling to be the first. Everyone has it in their blood. I think Samantha is just exaggerating the story to make a point, and she's proven that men and women hate her just for the mere mention that pretty people get perks, and those who don't get the perks get all pissy and they lash out. Samantha just makes a point about human nature that no one talks about. Boy, did she nail it. She's made a name for herself now. Have a great weekend. That came from Danielle last week.
I think everybody accepts that axiom, don't you? Don't you think
they just don't like? But people are just offended by somebody saying it out loud.
Don't complain about it. Right?
Because as you pointed out to several callers last week, hey, try being ugly if you think being beautiful is a problem.
And finally, dear Kevin and Bean, how much weight has Beer Mug gained? That's a good question.
What are we, about 7 weeks in now to Beer Mug's weight loss challenge?
I believe so, yeah. Almost 2 weeks. Months, yeah.
And Beer Mug, last time we checked, had in total lost a little over 6 pounds. And I guess the wager was 3.5 months and he was going to try to lose, was it 30 pounds total?
Yeah, 30 pounds.
Okay,
we
30 pounds.
$200 riding on it.
And I just want to point, and we're not spending much time on this, but
credits,
we are trying to keep current on this. I just want to point out that last week, Kevin, if you recall, Beer Mug rededicated himself.
Oh, yeah.
to the cause. Remember, he said, I know that I've gotten a little bit of a slow start, and I realize now the time is running out, but I'm serious about it this time. Did he not tell you that he was going to work out hard every single day?
Without missing.
Right. And how long did it take him before he missed his first day?
It was the day he said it.
It was the first day, right.
The first day.
Did he not tell me that he 100% was going to monitor everything, every bite he took
yep.
was going to be completely healthy and appropriate and low calorie?
Without fail.
Without fail.
Uh-huh.
Since then, we've seen him drinking hot chocolate. We've seen him drinking honey. He just told me that he went to IHOP over the weekend and had Belgian waffles and hash browns. I mean, the guy really does not have the stick-to-itiveness, I think, to accomplish his goal.
All right, step on the scale,
my
friend.
It's tough. It's tough.
Yeah, but you got money writing on it, and we publicly weigh you every week. Come on.
Where was Beer Mug last week, Kevin? Do you have that in front of you?
Well, I think I have 221.4.
I think that's right. Let me hit it again. All right, Beer Mug, 221.4 was last week. Where are you now, 7 days later, 7 weeks into the weight loss challenge?
Well, first of all, I'd like to correct Kevin. I was 220.3 last week. Okay. And this week, 217.2!
Wow!
3 more pounds?
Wow. Yes, sir!
What?
Yes, sir!
What? A, congratulations. B, you're never going to get there.
Well, let's see. Well,
you're just not.
Don't you only need to lose 20 more pounds?
Yeah, 21.
But it's almost been 2 months, and he lost 8 pounds.
But I've been half-ass dieting, and I'm still losing weight, Kevin. Aren't you nervous?
No, I'm not nervous. You kidding?
That's the half-ass mugs diet.
You have the discipline of me.
It's and tough.
That makes me not nervous.
3 more pounds in another week, though, wow. is pretty impressive. I have to tell you that I'm frankly shocked because I think of you as a failure on every level all the time.
Oh,
always.
Come on.
No,
man.
Incorrect. He is a dieting guru.
Don't forget, a little over an hour from right now, win your tickets for a 3-day pass to Coachella this weekend. Details at krock.com, straight up at 9 o'clock. We'll ask you when to call in. Rob is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Finally, 80s icon Cyndi Lauper is writing her autobiography.
Oh, I've been wondering what's been going on in her
life. I'm dying to know the history behind Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Do they want anything else? Or is it just fun? That's all they want? Or... do they want a satisfying career and a happy home life? I've just been dying to know.
Just fun.
Is she a lesbian, Ralph?
And she bop. Apparently she bop.
Yes.
And I want to know how she bop and why she bop. There's so many unanswered questions about Cyndi Lauper. So finally we're going to find out. The book is called Cyndi Lauper. And we'll cover her troubled childhood through her massive success in the 80s and the roller coaster ride that is fame, Kevin.
Yeah, I don't need that.
But it's
right.
Lauper. Mm-hmm. While we're talking about biographies, Martin Scorsese is directing a film about the life of Frank Sinatra, legendary entertainer Frank Sinatra. He tells Entertainment Tonight he's already met with writers to develop the project, but where do you start is the question. Martin asks, I'd love to tell the whole story, but the idea of art is to figure out where to start because I can't tell his whole story. If we told the whole story, Sinatra would be 15 hours, and I'd say I would sit through it. Give me 15 hours. Give me a 15-hour film about Frank Sinatra. Better than 10 minutes of Jack and Jill.
I had somebody tweet me Michael Bublé. Is that how you say his name? Could he play him?
He can sing. He can sing the stuff, for sure. Here's the problem with an icon like Sinatra. So much going on there. You got to be able to sing like Sinatra. You have to have the swagger and the gravitas and the cool of Sinatra.
Right.
And then in order to pull it off, you kind of have to look like Sinatra.
Yeah.
And you also have to be able to be intimidating as well.
And be a little guy and be intimidating. There's so much going on there. It's not like, like Ray Charles, for example. Jamie Foxx did an excellent job as Ray Charles in the biography about his life. But you can do the impression of the voice. You can wear the sunglasses and you can sing the songs. And most people will buy into that. But the fame level of somebody like Sinatra, the superstar level... there's so many expectations to go along with that. It's really hard to find anybody as charismatic and will impress as much as the real deal.
Just Ashton Kutcher.
Well, Kutch can do it, sure.
Seriously, that's
why they gave him the Steve Jobs.
Slam dunk.
You know what's going on. Scorsese says it might actually be a miniseries for HBO. You know, they're close these days with the Boardwalk Empire success. And also the George Harrison documentary that he did about his life that may do a miniseries so they can cover more ground than just a 2-hour theatrical film.
Oh, I hope that's what they do, miniseries.
Yeah, probably best for everybody involved. That's the way they went. More movie news. Ben Kingsley apparently is going to be the next villain in the upcoming Iron Man 3 sequel. Avengers not even out yet. They're already talking about Iron Man 3. They got to move forward.
Now, will he play the calculator, Ralph? Is he going to be the villain, the calculator?
How dare you mock the calculator, sir? Well,
what's the calculator? I just found out about the calculator.
Who's the calculator?
I'm obsessed with him.
Bean's trying to be funny because Batman's got a villain called the calculator. Why is that funny?
Because it's stupid.
He's not a giant. He's not a big Texas instrument with an LED readout that pushes buttons.
He sort of is, though. Doesn't he have a readout on his forehead?
In the old days, he did. But now he's a genius, and he can calculate all the angles, and he runs the Uber, the undernet, the secret internet for all villains, and gives them all the information they need to pull off their nefarious deeds.
Ralph, I know you love
the sci-fi. The calculator,
but you can't defend the calculator.
I can defend the
Come
calculator.
On, that's just not the case.
He is one of the most dangerous villains in the world right now. I'm saying he has evolved since his days where he ran around in a jumpsuit with numbers all over it. Better than Calendar Man.
There's Calendar Man?
Of course there's Calendar Man.
He can just tell you what day it is?
Better than the Sportsmaster.
Calendar Man, can you go up to him and you can go, all right, January 5th, 2014. What day of the week does that fall on?
He would
just
know.
Do it right off the top of his head?
He would know.
That
and
is
also,
impressive.
Most of his crimes have holiday themes.
You might need to count down the 10 lamest for us.
You don't know, man.
Seriously, you might need to.
But all the lame ones, talented writers in the comic book world have turned them around and made them cool.
Mm. Like Calendar Man is cool now.
Catman used to be a joke.
Yeah.
And now he's cool.
No.
Clue Master used to be a joke. Now he's a danger.
Master.
Calculator's cool.
Was Catman part of the same litter that produced Catwoman?
No. No.
They're not related?
No, they're not related.
Oh.
All right, back to you.
You guys just don't get it.
No, we don't.
We do not get it.
Not if the calculator is cool. We don't.
I'm going to play this tape in July when we're down in San Diego, and you're going to be running out of town on a rail.
We will stand by our calculator hate.
No, you won't, because
how many people at Comic-Con are going to be standing up for the calculator?
I'm telling you, the calculator is now a major player in Gotham City. He's the real deal.
But
if you have the information, if you rule information, you carry all the power. You guys know that.
So he's the internet.
Yes,
they
basically.
They call him the internet.
But doesn't everybody have the internet?
But no, it doesn't have the undernet.
And that's just another way to say under?
That's the evil, seedy, underbelly secret internet that only villains can tap into.
Listen to yourself.
You don't get it, man.
You are the king of the nerds.
You don't understand.
Plus, he can also tell you how much change you get from a $20 bill on any purchase.
I hate you both so much.
Let's say my food came to $14.22.
How much do I get back if I give him 25? Boom, the calculator. He's
well,
right there.
Well, first of all, why would you give him 25? You've got 20 to 5 for $14. You're going to give him 25.
Just because I've tried to mix it up for the calculator.
You need the calculator,
for him.
You need the calculator because you can't figure out
Let's say
math.
We give him a $25 bill.
Then what?
Then what?
So the calculator is the new villain in the Avengers. Is that what you're telling me? I don't even understand.
No,
how did this whole conversation
Ben
get started?
Kingsley is going to be the new villain in Iron Man 3. They were hoping he'd be the Mandarin, but he's not going to be the Mandarin. He's going to be apparently another super genius.
He's going to be the vacuum or somebody. Okay.
Another super genius like Tony Stark who deals in nanotechnology.
He's the dustbuster.
Nanites. You don't want to mess with nanites.
No, you don't.
Dicks. And Alec Baldwin's got problems.
Again?
And the bitches won.
What?
Genevieve Sabourine, a woman that he worked with many years ago, has been stalking him.
Oh, no.
He had to call the cops last Sunday and have her arrested and charged with aggravated harassment and stalking. She has been pursuing him for some time, apparently, through emails and text messages, requesting financial assistance, and finally showed up at his house on March the 31st.
That seems bad.
It was finally popped after she tried to gain access into his place in Manhattan this past Sunday. They know each other, sadly, because they worked on a film together, The Adventures of Pluto Nash, in 2002. Nothing good came from that film.
No, he's trying to forget that.
That's right.
And now, Alec Baldwin was in that?
I'm guessing he was, since it says here they worked together in The Adventures of Pluto Nash. I never saw the film myself, but I didn't IMDb it. I'm assuming they worked together.
I believe I did see it.
What the what?
No,
it was
you
Eddie
didn't
Murphy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
It was a space movie where he was like a space traveler.
I may have.
Oh, Kevin.
Yeah.
Oh, Kevin.
I'm not proud.
Today's celebrity birthdays. A.J. McCulka of A.J. and Allie, 21 years old today. Haley Joel Osment.
He sees dead people.
That's true.
He sees his career. Because now his career's dead.
He's 24 years old. Mandy Moore. Oh, Mandy Moore. She's 28. Andre Ethier of the Los Angeles Dodgers is 30 years old today. Is it opening day today? Is that what's happening?
Yep. Home opener for the Dodgers. Yep.
Yeah. 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 And only then, what, 161 more games to go after that?
That's correct. Well, no, they've already played three or four already in San Diego.
Four-year season.
Can't wait for Wednesday and start of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Me either.
Finally something interesting going on in sports. You got Vancouver, right? You got the Vancouver Canucks, Kevin, in your series, the Kings against the Vancouver Canucks.
Yeah, and everybody's saying Canucks in five.
Five?
F-U, that's what I say.
I do, too. F-U, four.
Oh, come on. That's not going to sweep. Are you crazy?
They're the best team in hockey right now.
We split with them, 2-2.
You guys are eighth in the West.
Yeah, but that only happened the last day of the season.
So they decided to give it up right there towards the end?
Well, apparently they did.
Way to work momentum into the playoffs is to cough up your third place position and drop to eighth. Make sure you're in the right headspace to get into the playoffs.
It's right where we want to be. I'm telling you, it's a plan from the beginning.
You're very clever.
We want to take out Vancouver first.
Smart. They're probably the biggest hurdle. You get rid of them. The rest is a cakewalk. Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy is 32 years old today. Orlando Jones turns 44. Steven Seagal celebrates his 61st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, party people. Thanks a lot for tuning in on a Tuesday. Looking ahead toward tomorrow, by the way. Hey, Jay Moore, do you know Jim Gaffigan? He's going to be joining us on the show tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Jim Gaffigan's coming.
He's good, right? Funny dude.
Yeah, I was just doing some of his bits when he does like the I love his stand-up. I love his bits, and I love his asides when he'll do a bit and act like a woman in the audience.
Oh,
not
he's
happy
the guy that
it.
Does that. Like he's
really like, I don't know. I tip what 1%? Is that a good tip?
I don't think he knows what a real tip is supposed to be.
I love that guy.
He's really funny.
Yeah, he is joining us tomorrow. Also, Jack Johnson is going to be here performing live in studio. So I'm very excited about that.
I wish he was the old black boxer from
the
like
boxer,
1902.
Exactly.
You're like
he's
actually 400 years old. He's here.
Right now, though, how about Jay Moore? Fresh off the April Foolishness stage this past Saturday night. You can see him tonight on stage at the Irvine Improv with special guest Tom Segura and a little man named Brad Williams. More stories live. Tickets available through IrvineImprov.com for just $25. That sounds like a hell of a show. How are you, Jay?
I'm good, and I can't wait. I'm sure you guys broke down April Foolishness Monday.
We did, but maybe not
ad
everything.
Ad nauseum. But I learned a lot Tuesday.
You did.
Sorry. Today's Tuesday.
Yes.
I learned. Wow.
Saturday.
Until I have a baby.
Saturday.
Holy smokes.
what did you learn?
Told on stage, by the way, was true. When you put a baby in a jumper, it does make them go to the bathroom. And guys will always go, we'll just leave them in there because more will come out. Where women pull the baby out and change the diaper immediately. But when my baby's in the diaper, I'm like, well, let's finish the Knicks game and then I'll get him out of there. Mello's heating up. He's getting it where he wants it.
Maybe you're not the guy that should be in charge of the kid then.
Yeah, I know. But I am kind of the guy. But I am. That's the thing about being a parent. You're like, how am I in charge? 10 years ago, I was dropping acid. Now people are giving me their kids like, you're in charge of all these kids in the tent. And they're all a quarter gay. That's the part I wanted to get to and I forgot. And if you don't think your son's gay, have a sleepover with five-year-olds.
Right.
And just put them in the tent in the living room. And you hear them all night going, hey, it's okay. Then they wake you up with their gay problems, like, Daddy, Steven's punching us in the penis too hard. And you go, well, tell him to stop. And then you realize you can't go back to bed because of the words, too hard. He didn't wake you up because Steven's punching you in the package. He's waking you up because he's not doing it right.
He's overdoing it.
Yeah, like, we're trying to have a good sleepover. And Steven's just blasting. Like, we get it. You're a top. I mean, we're five. We're all twinks here. Let's be honest. But you're king of the twinks, Steven. Chill out. Then another kid will wake you up. And they're all, like, wearing each other's pajamas. I come downstairs. My son's got, like, a SpongeBob top and a Lightning McQueen bottom, neither of which I put him to bed. And I put him to bed as a little army man. And now he's wearing red and yellow because he doesn't want to be too matchy-matchy. And there's one kid outside the tent with his shirt off, hustling, like, hi, Mr. Moore. How you doing? The Louis Guzman voice. Nothing. Personally, I'm seven. Lying about his age to get upstairs. Anywho.
Did you have a good time Saturday
I had an incredible time.
Because you've said in the past that it's one of your favorite gigs to do. So
yeah,
I'm really
stunned in a great way at how great, and there's no reason for me to lie about this because it's in the rearview mirror, how great the audience is for as long as they're that great. And in my set, I did like a K-turn. on the 405 and downshifted into Norm MacDonald and Adam Sandler doing the funny how, what the heck is so funny about me scene from Goodfellas. And I'd never done it before. And I thought to myself, well, this will tank. They just hung out.
Yeah.
And they let it breathe and they had fun. And they were so fun that when I got off stage, I thought I should have really mapped out a better set.
And it was funny because Jay came off stage and he's like, oh, I forgot to tell this story. Oh, I forgot to tell that story. I should go back out.
My set was good, not great. And I learned how much time we got. You want to do it after the break? Because I learned a very valuable lesson.
Tell us the lesson.
Brad Williams, hands down, set of the night.
I agree.
All right. His tweet the day before the show was, I'm really nervous. And I tweeted, hands down, set of the night, Brad Williams. And then his tweet the day before the show on Friday was, I'm really nervous, so I'm going to keep practicing my set for April Foolishness. And then I retweeted what he wrote, and then the quote from Bobby Knight, everyone has the will to win. I want guys with the will to prepare to win. And out of all those headliners and all those fancy schmance headliners and big acts, how many of us freaking practiced? We talking about practice.
You didn't.
No, I did not.
Pacing up and down the hallway trying to figure out what you were going to do.
Yeah. And I learned from a guy, from an up-and-comer who taught me a lesson. Ralph just said it. I said that to Ralph, and Ralph goes, it's amazing. A little bit of time in the batting cages will make all the difference in the world. And let me tell you something. That will never happen again.
Are you going to start doing lap dances?
No, I won't do that
okay.
because I'm a family man. and when I go up next year at April Foolishness, I will have the set of the night.
Okay.
And that's my word. And my word is born and everybody got impregnated.
By the way, no Tracy Jordan.
It's Tracy Morgan, for starters. But I appreciate that, Bob Sugar. Listen, I just didn't want to do too much time. I'm always conscious of the corporate over the entire... I'm always long view, long-sighted.
Right.
And it's a long night.
It was a little too long, and I think that was our fault.
And I... You know what happened is I saw where the light was, and I went, well, I've been out here like 10 minutes. That's good. And it was a good story about the, driving in hyperspace. And I was like...
Well, don't beat yourself up, Jay, because your set was hilarious.
Good,
I mean, you were really
great.
Funny, as you always are. But you're
good
so right.
is better than most guys great.
Yes, absolutely. Preach, and I'm so glad that you made the comment about the audience, because one thing that's neat is a lot of places that do comedy, the audience comes in, you have to win them over or they're there to hate you. But for whatever reason, for this April Fool's show, people put their butts in the seats and they don't want to move until it's over, and they're excited and happy to see everyone who comes out, and that must be kind of refreshing as a comedian.
They're sort of rooting for you because they want to have a good time.
Yeah.
They are the kindest, super rooting for you, and I think I really let air out and let sort of... In my set, personally, there was a moment where everybody really got on the same page where I said, let's face it, after Brad Williams, we're all just playing for second place. We're all coming in behind little Lefty on the leaderboard, which was my personal favorite thing of the night, because I made it up on the spot. It was a golf reference to Phil Mickelson. The Masters was happening. I don't think anybody got what I was saying.
Right.
They just heard little Lefty and leaderboard and enjoyed the alliteration.
But when I assume you were talking about your penis, right?
Sure. Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that off the air.
Yeah, we need to
My intro was a little untoward.
Well,
off the air.
Off the air. All right.
But you're right. An astoundingly great crowd. And I didn't even know what the charity was. I'm just blindly following you guys into the sun. And then when I get there and I know it's for Wounded Warriors, I'm like, this is what's cooler than this? This is where I saw Weezer. This is where I saw Pearl Jam. And now I'm watching Eddie If die. And what could be better than that?
All right,
how
Jay
long
Morris
before my
here.
Phone vibrates in my pocket?
Right, I see you on stage right tonight now. At the Irvine Improv, along with Brad Williams and Tom Segura. That is Demore Stories Live, just $25. And then, of course, you're also playing at the end of April, the Ontario Improv as well. We'll take a break. More with Jay after this on the Kevin. The great Jay Moore in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He's going to be on stage at the Irvine Improv tonight. This sounds like a tremendous time, taping your Moore Stories Live podcast in front of an audience for just $25, IrvineImprov.com, including our little friend Brad Williams and Tom Segura. They'll all be there. Go to jaymoore.com for details. Hey, our theory is always, Jay, that all celebrities know each other.
Pretty much. But I got to interject. What's great about the podcast tonight at Irvine Improv at 8 o'clock, Irvine.com, improv, whatever.
He just finished saying
that. It's
not
on my website. That's the thing.
Okay.
Is that Tom Segura has like 20 minutes of his act about midgets.
So Tom Segura is like
perfect.
Beyond excited to just sit and ask every midget question.
Oh, that's going to be outstanding.
Yes.
And this is
what I loved about Brad Williams' set. He didn't – there was no jokes that he said where I was like, damn, I wish I wrote that. It's the elephant in the room of being a midget or dwarf. He said midget, so I'll say midget.
He loves the word, and little people in America hate him for it.
If it's a fat guy on stage, he'll move the mic stand and go, let me get this out of the way so you can see me.
Right.
And then that's addressing the elephant in the room.
Right.
Or a black guy would go, y'all thinking, what's the brother doing on stage? But Brad walks the elephant from one end of the stage to the other for 20 minutes and then stands on top of it and says goodnight. The act is the elephant. The act is everything you've ever wanted to know about a little person.
Yep.
And he makes it I almost swore. That's the closest I ever came to swearing on radio. Freaking hysterical.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, we're great. I'd be great at being gay. And it does that butt thing that when they clap their butt cheeks. And then the cameraman did a close-up of his little designer jeans. Yeah. Oh, boy.
All right. So here's my question for you.
Yes, sir, sorry.
And that is, Kevin and I always feel like all celebrities know each other. Yeah. And you're either in the group or you're out of the group. And we're clearly on the outside of that ring. But we saw you hunched over with John Stamos because you two are famous people. And I just figured you guys probably have known each other forever because you're famous, right?
No, we've never met each other. And
really? Because you look like best friends backstage.
Well, we became friends pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And he was with Saget, so it's kind of like, you know, 6 degrees of separation. Like,
right.
You're not a comic, but you're with a guy I know who's a great comic, so what's up? How are you?
Right.
And then I told him.
Isn't John Stamos ridiculously good looking in person?
I thought Rob Lowe was the hottest guy I'd ever seen in my life, but then you take Rob Lowe's hotness. And take a Rob Lowe's hotness and add a Mediterranean flair to it with a tan neck and forehead and a little bit of a burn on the bridge of the nose, you know? Oh, my God, he's a hot man. Yeah, Stamos is now on top of the leaderboard as the hottest guy I've ever seen.
It's really weird.
And
why doesn't
he have kids? Why isn't he married? Why doesn't George Clooney marry and have kids?
I don't know.
And don't go, he doesn't want kids. Who doesn't want kids?
People don't want kids.
Well, I know. He was married to Rebecca Romijn. I mean, it's not like he hasn't had a wife, but
then she went with Jerry O'Connell.
I think they probably divorced before they got around to, you know, having a family is all. What are you suggesting? I don't like the implication of this.
But he is. Really, you have to eat the burrito while we're on the air?
I made a mistake.
Come on now.
I made a mistake.
You spit it out. All right.
Yeah.
John Stamos.
In 10 years, first time.
Here's what I noticed. When I saw him, and I'm a heterosexual guy, but when you see him, you go, holy.
Yeah, you'd be on bottom.
Right. Unbelievable. Yeah.
Psycho Mike is dog food compared to John Stamos.
It's just not.
Psycho Mike's up there, though, because Psycho Mike's a judo champion.
He is?
Yes, he is.
He's not a judo champion.
Yes, he is.
Champion?
Well, he won 2 out of 3 matches at a Pasadena tournament.
Did
he showed
he really?
Up, and he's in the Gracie School of Jiu-Jitsu.
Let me ask you this, though, Jay Moore, and that is, imagine what your life would be like if you looked like John Stamos. Imagine the power that comes with that.
You know, can I tell you something, Beaner, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't possibly be better. You could not possibly improve on this life.
On your life.
On your life.
Absolutely. And people ask me,
looking like John Stamos wouldn't make it better? I feel like it would make my life better.
Wouldn't make a dent in the armor, wouldn't make an eyelash difference in my level of thinking that, and I'm being serious here. You guys know me really well.
Yeah.
When people ask me what heaven is, my answer is always the same. More of this. More of this.
Most people don't feel that way.
Well, I can help them a little. A lot of the podcasts, we really break this stuff down to an elemental level of what is, you know, especially with the Catherwood episodes are great. But, you know, Saturday, I drove to the Universal Amphitheater, and there's 6,000 people laughing. I mean, it's just, we're spreading people. It's going to sound really pretentious and bizarre. You're spreading happiness and light, like that's your job. And then you go home and you have children and a wife.
But John Stamos drove to the Universal Amphitheater.
John Stamos doesn't change diapers. He doesn't know what life is.
Right, but
I think if I looked like John Stamos, I would be an a-hole.
I
really do. I think it would ruin.
I don't know if you'd be an a-hole, but you personally would be happier.
Okay. And scene. Jay Moore in studio with us right now on the Kevin and Bean Show, performing at the Irvine Improv tonight, as we've discussed. Also at the end of the month, the last weekend of April, at the Ontario Improv. So IrvineImprov.com tonight, OntarioImprov.com for future shows. And every time you do April Foolishness, Jay, I mean, not that everybody doesn't already know who you are, but I sense you walk out of there with new fans, with people who, you know, came to see Eddie Izzard, for instance, had never seen you before, and now you've got them too. So well done, my friend.
Thank you. I feel it, and I read your tweets on Twitter, and you guys were very nice. They seem to really like hyperspace stories.
Yes, hyperspace was awesome.
I will say this really quick as a pit stop about the Ontario Improv. The reason I haven't been there in 2 years, 3 years, is because nobody showed up because I'm not a Latino or black act.
Okay.
That seems to be the book on the Ontario Mills Improv. So if you come out, then we could do it every year and have like a party every year. You don't come out, then I just got to... Now I got to, as Paulie says in Goodfellas, now I got to turn my back on you.
April 26th to 29th.
Thank you, lover.
Just start advertising yourself as Patrice O'Neill. Just tell him you're Patrice O'Neill coming down because he, I'm just saying, you'll sell a lot of tickets that way because he can't.
I said that as Ralph Garman Pacino.
Come on! All right, mushrooms, go.
My buddy Charlie, I'm driving April Foolishness, and I go, Charlie lives in the valley right next to the amphitheater. I should call him and see if he wants to come. 6'6", about 280 pounds, big dude, nose tackle in college. I go, Charlie, you want to come with me? He says, yes. Anyway, he tells me all of this on the drive home. He goes, hey, man, when you called me, I'm sitting on my couch in my underwear having a pot lollipop, and then I go, you know what? That'll be cool, and that'll be super high, and I'll be at April Foolishness. It'll be fun. I go, so what happened? He goes, well, I don't know if you realized. I kind of jogged out of your dressing room. I go, why? He goes, it got pretty intense. He goes, I think I had too much of the pot lollipop. And I go, how much of it did you have? He goes, I had the pot lollipop. I go, well, how much are you supposed to have? He goes, I think you're supposed to just like suck on it for a little while. I had the pot lollipop.
The
I go,
thing.
What happened? He goes, I was so high, I was actually tripping like I was on mushrooms. And I go, really? And he goes, oh, yeah. And I go, what did you do? He goes, well, they had those gift bottles of tequila. I drank half of one. I go, that's a horrible idea. He goes, at the time, something had to be done. And he's talking to me like a general in the field. Like, I don't know if it was the wrong decision. It was a decision, and we were going with it.
Had to make it.
Call in the airstrikes, and let's just move on. He goes, then I'm really, like, having a hard time breathing. My throat's closing up. Maybe I'm allergic to tequila. Everything is like my I'm echo and I he goes then I get backstage and he was my assistant for a long time. Now he's KP Anderson the assistant. He runs a comedy festival in Asheville, North Carolina. So comedy, like with us, is where we're happy,
right?
Our happy place. He goes, I get backstage and I hear people laughing and I hear jokes and I see Bob Saget and John Stamos and I'm going, you know Full House, like this is truly a happy, safe
place. It's a good, happy place.
It's happy place. It's Full House. And there's comics, and there's 6,000 people laughing. I'm okay. And they look out on stage, and there's a midget doing a lap dance. I go, and that wasn't cool? He goes, no, that was not cool, because I didn't know it was a midget. I thought the chick was huge. I go, you were that high? He goes, yeah, how do I know? He goes, I'm 200 feet from the center of the stage. I don't know. He looks like a midget, but maybe he's just like a buff dude, like that cat from Naughty by Nature, you know?
He's right. He's 4'4".
And maybe there's just, you know, maybe he's 5'4", and she's like in the WNBA, and it's like, maybe he pulled her up on stage because of her size. I thought that was one of the fun. That was my funny story. And I told John Stamos I was tripping on mushrooms, and they have the photos of everyone that's ever performed there.
Yeah.
Eddie Vedder's on the wall. I'm glad you guys put me on the wall. All right. And the Pope is on the wall. And I said to John Stamos, I said, I got to get out of here. I took mushrooms right as I was pulling up, and they're kicking in, and I can't start peeking, looking at you. It'll freak me out. And he goes, are you serious? I go, yeah. I think I'm going to throw up. And then, oh, my God, the Pope's in the wall. The Pope's in the wall. And he goes, what? I go, the Pope's in the wall. The Pope's in the wall. The Pope's. And I just kept saying it like on repeat. The
Was
Pope's.
He looking at you like, what?
He goes,
are
you serious? I go, the Pope. Yeah, I'm serious. The Pope's in the wall. The Pope's in the wall. But he didn't sell out. The Dalai Lama sold out. It says it in his picture that the Dalai Lama sold out. But I think they mean like he sold out. Like maybe he's a sellout. Like he's a sellout. He's the Dalai Lama. And I bet they charge tickets. Or maybe he sold out. But the Pope's in the wall. I'm going to throw up.
What was Stamos doing?
I did too good a job of convincing him, and I realized I don't want – and then I told my wife when I went home, she goes, in the future, don't do that because I don't want people's story backstage to be like, and then Jay Moore was tripping on mushrooms. We've done a good job turning this battleship around. Why turn it back around for the night just to make John Stamos laugh?
Well, you know he's already told 80 people that Jay Moore was on mushrooms backstage. You know that. It's out of the bag now.
Probably. Yeah.
I'm going to start telling people that now. I didn't even know about this story. That's fantastic.
Mushrooms, you know, that's the thing. My son's going to ask me, like, what are drugs? And I'll tell him, like, look, you know, you smoke pot and, you know, yes, I did them. I used to smoke pot and I drank a lot and mushrooms up at, you know, Santa Barbara and stuff. And then I'll tell him, you've really ruined that for me.
Nice.
Very nice. Because of you, I will never again know that perfect combination of weed and alcohol while Sex Machine comes on at Dave & Buster's while I'm shooting hoops. And for some reason, me shooting hoops means something so much that I'll never be able to explain that to you. You really stripped that from me.
Wow. Way to go, kid.
And I'll resent you forever. Don't you think I'd like to smoke a ton of grass and watch the Jets game? But I can't because you'll hit your head on something and cry. So keep it up, buddy.
Like you said, what could be more perfect than your life now, right,
Jay
Moore?
Can you imagine having Jay Moore as your dad?
I can't. I think it would be fun, though.
Let me tell you something.
Are you a strict parent, Jay? Or he's probably not old enough that matters, but will you be strict?
Well, my 9-year-old's old enough, and I am strict. You know, it's not strict. It's more like there's a structure to this, and this is the way the house runs the best. Right. And if you just put your shoes in the closet under the stairs, I won't go, like, why are your shoes? I won't trip over them, and your mom will be happy, and everything mm-hmm. has a place.
And that works?
Yeah.
So far?
Yeah. And it's a very loving house. And I say in my book, and I say it all the time, this is the first generation of I love you dads. Our dads didn't hold us and say, let me tell you something, man. I love you. You're the best.
That's true. Mine didn't.
You're right about that.
And in 30 years, the guys that run companies and run for office will be the products of I love you dads. Now, look, we don't know how it's going to turn out. They might be complete pussies and ruin everything because we didn't keep score at their soccer games. Just a bunch of people at the UN hugging each other and crying.
Give everyone a medal.
Everybody gets a participatory medal. And here's your trophy because you sit at the UN. Here you go, Niger. Good job. I don't know why.
USA will be 80th in the world at that point, but at least the kids will feel loved. That's the important thing.
I didn't think when I woke up this morning I would hear the sentence, here you go, Niger. Good job.
I couldn't have seen that coming.
I think I was a letter off for you.
How dare
you? To quote Tim mentioned Ginger. Good job, Ginger.
That's a great bit, the Ginger bit. Oh,
see
my
how
God.
I turn it around?
And Tim
I do a lot of favors for you, Henry, don't I?
Tim was in here yesterday, by the way. He did a different song for us that he hadn't done on Saturday night. That was incredible. The guy is so talented.
Well, man, you were going to tell me what you did all day yesterday.
We can't. We have to tell you off the air.
Oh.
All right, listen.
Tim
Moore
may or may not do my podcast tomorrow. He's trying to move some stuff around.
That'd be fantastic if you get him. He's hilarious.
I'm trying
so
like hell. And then Barry Katz.
Listen,
sorry.
We're out of time.
Come see
Irvine Improv. Irvine Improv tonight. Brad Williams and Tom Segura. It sounds like a fantastic More Stories podcast. You can get tickets for just $25 at IrvineImprov.com. And then, Jay, since you're practically a member of the family at this point, come on back in 2 weeks and we'll talk about the Ontario.
I will. And if anybody listening doesn't want to come to the show, that's fine. Okay. I don't care.
But enough of you will.
Well, hopefully. Yeah. But, you know, I just like hanging out and talking to you guys anyway. So,
Do we have to start paying you?
No, bro. Oh, this is so much fun for me. Right. I mean, you guys are number one, bro.
Jay, you're the best.
Hey,
Second best Saturday, but the best overall.
I think I was third best. Jim Jeffries was way up there. Louis Guzman thinks you guys are the best, right behind that Tom Likas.
It's the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ and the Kevin and Bean Show, and Jay Moore is showing Ralph pictures.
Probably his penis. How about 3 day passes to Coachella?
Yes,
how
about not showing my, whatever.
Of course, 3 day passes to Coachella.
Such thing as off the record.
Sold out this weekend and access to the K-Rock Coachella house. Your chance to win those coming up right after the showbiz beat. What's happening? Why is there so much talking going on?
Jay, shut up.
We're doing a show here.
Doctor Who is leaving the studio.
Oh, Sean.
Oh.
Time for the showbiz beat, I think, though, with Ralph Garman.
I don't know. About Jay Moore.
He says he now does an impression of you doing the impression.
That's nothing could be more flattering. Yeah. He's the man of a thousand voices. He left something behind.
Yeah, it's some food.
I don't know what this is here. I think it's onion rings.
It's something. A Mexican food after Gustavo Arden.
Yeah, why have the wheels come off this show all of a sudden? There's a Mexican buffet in the other room, and there's...
Because it's fantastic. We were in the mood for it.
Stop pumping your fist. You lost 3 pounds. Relax. Yeah! Beer mugs are back. Yeah, Mexican food! Woo! Massive blue eye.
Hey, is Muggs having some of the Mexican food? Is this part of his diet
plan? Of course.
No,
yes. Okay. That's 3 pounds. I got 6 whole months left. No, Muggs, you started with 3. I got 4 months left.
He's not great at math.
He's not
Mexican
calendar man.
He's not calendar man.
He's the opposite of calendar man.
I got 2 whole months. No, it's mid-April now. It's the beginning of mid-April.
He didn't say that.
What?
That was said.
Douche.
It's the beginning of mid-April.
It's early mid-April. Good thing it's not late mid-April, because then you get into late April at that stage. Yeah. I don't like this anymore.
Come on.
Let Alarm's in trouble again. Apparently a woman is alleging that Lindsay assaulted her at the Standard Hotel in West Hollywood last Thursday. Got into a little bit of a scuffle. The woman claims that she was talking to a gentleman who was either Lindsay's companion or friend, or Lindsay had an eye on, and she got into her face, and there was shoving that was exchanged, and
glances.
There were evil glances. So she is alleging that it happened. Lindsay's team says it never took place. They said she was never at the hotel. They claim there is no one named Lindsay Lohan, which I think is odd.
That's a strange
position for her.
But I do wonder if Lindsay's fame is at a level with the tabloid frenzy, Ralph, where you could call up one of the tabloids and say, hey, if you pay me $1,000, I'll tell you what Lindsay Lohan did to me at a club last night. And they would just
accept it.
See what
she did backstage to me at April Foolishness.
Right,
back
exactly.
There.
And nope. They would just run it without any kind of corroboration.
Doing rails.
Or like
he's
that.
Giving a hypothetical. Nope,
it really happened to me backstage. You give me a rail blow. Let's see, we're tight.
By yourself?
Yeah.
I think Bean's right. That's very easily could happen.
I'm not saying this didn't happen, but it
you
also
just
wouldn't
said
surprise
the words,
me.
I think Bean's right.
I know.
Kevin.
I'll take that back.
All right. Yeah, I agree. This could completely be manufactured. And unfortunately, her staff is in position to having to counter and disprove every rumor that comes along. Like when she killed that guy smoking that hookah. Remember when she did that?
She did do that.
She
that
didn't
did happen.
Kill anyone.
Yeah,
she just
murdered him, ran him over, backed up over him once she passed him.
I think touched his leg. Oh. That's it.
Jay-Z and Beyonce are renewing their vows because no
Jay-Z?
One has ever been in love more than Jay-Z and Beyonce. Yeah. They say they're so inspired by their new baby, Blue Ivy. They're so happy that they want to marry each other all over again. Stop it. You're not special. Your love isn't better than everyone else's love. Your child isn't magical. It doesn't heal. Doesn't remove warts. It doesn't. No magic powers come with this child. It's just a baby, and you're just married. Stop it. God damn it! I'm surprised they didn't try to trademark the word love, because they're the only ones. And my new scent, love, Blue Ivy, love, marriage. Try a new scent, marriage. They're getting on my last nerve, that couple.
I think everybody wants to think their story is unique.
But only idiots believe that.
No, but in their instance, they are unique in the celebrity world. They're very different than most people. Their lives are very different. They get treated different. I think they
But
are.
Most celebrities get treated like that. There's tons of people get
How
treated
are they
like
different
that.
than Brad Pitt and Angelina
I'm
Jolie?
I'm not saying they are. I'm saying they're different than
and
us
you know,
in that.
Tons of and all
not better, different.
Tons of these people who think their love is special end up
I hear you.
Releasing statements talking about how they're going to remain the best of friends after they divvy up their property. Just stop it. Just go about your business. I'm happy that you're in love and you've got a child. That's great news. Go live your life over there where your life is. Stop making it all of our business.
Don't force it on us.
Stop.
That's a good point.
Because either way, you look like an ass because you think you're special because you're married and you had a baby. Or you become an ass because you've been shoving it down our throats and you end up getting divorced and we all point a finger and laugh at you. And you make us do it because you jammed your BS relationship in our faces for 6 years. Russell Brand and Katy Perry.
Yeah, same thing.
Everybody's so in love. I get it. I want you to be in love. I just want you to be in love quietly. Just be in love over there. Not in my house. Not on my television. While we're talking about Russell Brand and Katy Perry, Katy got the mansion that she bought with Russell Brand.
Yes.
Yeah, she gets the mansion.
So he didn't take the $20 million.
She gets the gold mine. He gets the shaft. TMZ says Russell's making good on his promise not to take any of Katy's money or property. So she gets all the rights to the Sunset Strip mansion that they bought together for $6.5 million.
By the way, this is the way it should work, because the law that he could use to get all that money has nothing to do with their situation. This is the way it should work for them.
No, but the law has to do with most people's situations.
You yes, but not theirs.
You got to make the law for...
I agree.
For the majority.
I agree. But it doesn't mean it's not misused by a huge amount of people.
Right, but it also doesn't mean that she should just get a $6.5 million mansion for nothing. And
he's being really cool about living
in a microvan.
Well, I don't know that he is, but...
Behind the Chick-fil-A. The corner of Sunset and Highland.
Is that accurate?
I saw a guy look just like him. Wow. Might not have been him. It could have been a hobo. Because they look a lot alike, Russell Brand and a hobo. They both have long flowing scarves in the summertime.
Yeah.
They are both hairy and look unkempt. And there was a dearth of shoes.
And he doesn't look like he eats.
No, he does not eat much, no. But he does look like he injects a great many chemicals. Today's celebrity birthdays, Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense. He is 24 years old. Mandy Moore turns 28. She's a good deal, that Mandy Moore.
She sure is.
Sings, acts, and by all accounts, just one of the sweetest ladies in Hollywood.
And she's still married to Ryan Adams, right? That's a quiet relationship that we never hear about with two famous people.
If you're with the guy who sang Summer 69 and you ever really love a woman, I mean, you hold on to that guy. He is a romantic bastard.
You're thinking of your mistake.
Andre Ethier, outfielder for the Los Angeles Dodgers, is 30 years old today. Michael Pitt celebrates his 31st birthday. Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy, he is 32. Q-Tip from A Tribe Called Quest. He's 42 years old. Comedian and actor Orlando Jones celebrates his 44th birthday. Steven Seagal, 61 years old. He can still kill you with his thumb.
He can.
If his thumb is on the trigger of a shotgun. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
I don't know if this is the best news in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show or the worst. I guess that depends on your feelings about a certain Armenian comedian. But ladies and gentlemen, it is time for our countdown to Samageddon.
You thought the nightmare was over.
Holy sh**.
You thought you were safe.
Hey!
You were wrong.
That's right.
I'm getting stoned every day, every minute, and even though I don't get stoned, I am stoned.
It's countdown to Samageddon.
It's been gone for 2 years. We've had
him
on
2 years.
We've had him on the show for 15.
Probably. Maybe. I met him first, by the way, at a convenience store, gas station or something like that in the Valley about 15 years ago, and he just showed up. And I have to tell you, it was love at first sight, but it was the kind of love at first sight that you regret for the rest of your life.
Oh, come on. Here's the thing about Sam, for those of you that haven't, and I know a lot of you have, but for those of you that haven't, he's the worst comedian alive by far. So those of you that hate him for that, we understand, but we love him for that because he mixes that with the confidence of Jay Moore.
Yes, that's right.
And he shouldn't have that confidence, and that baffles us.
And he also just doesn't have any kind of understanding about how the world works. He says things that don't make any sense or are completely inappropriate. And the reason it's been 2 years since we've had Sam on is because, and this isn't a joke, he literally called in a bomb threat on the radio station. We talked to him on the radio. We said, Sam, you understand that that's illegal and you could get in trouble. So please take our advice. If you do nothing else we ask, take it back right now. Tell people you were kidding. No, I will not take it back. Next thing you know, the police are knocking on his door and he literally, I mean, I think they arrested him and the whole deal. And he had a 2-year restraining order, which is expiring. I think today is actually the day that it expires. Oh. So we're going to have him on Monday because we didn't want Lisa May to miss it while she's on vacation. But every day this week, we are counting down to Samageddon and we are looking at some of the greatest hits of Sam the Armenian comedian from the past. And I think today, Kevin, we're going to spotlight a little bit of his musical contributions.
Well,
he's got way more going on than just telling jokes.
He believes he's the funniest comedian in the world and is literally the least funny in the world. He also believes that he's a great musician and he started 3 or 4 bands and his music is worse than anything you've ever heard. I don't even remember this song, but this is one that he recorded for.
So I just glanced my head to the right on Hollywood Boulevard.
And man, did I see this gorgeous face that I've never seen in entire my life.
He doesn't write his songs. He makes them up as he goes.
And I said to myself, oh, baby, I just want to look at you one more time.
And then he plays his little recorder, his little...
That
you played when you were in fourth grade?
Right, before you learned how to play a real musical instrument. Right. I don't remember this song either. This may be from the Armenian comedian Deep Tracks boxed set.
All right, how do we intro Oh Mama?
This is ballad. Well,
this is rock ballad.
This is one of my favorite Armenian comedian songs. He actually recorded this. I think we recorded this live on the air. He came in with his band, loosely assembled musicians that he knew, and they did this one live. And it's just, it's the anguish of what happens when his parents meet in heaven.
Oh, mama, did you mean my papa?
So you can.
God, that's good. I love that so much.
And by good, you mean
I love it. I love
horrible.
That song. I love that song. What's next?
Teenagers stop spraying the bullets at each other.
Now, I thought this was a very nice effort because I think he took it hard at one of the school shootings that happened in the news, and he thought the way to bring the kids together was through music, and that's why he did this song.
Wake up, teenagers, don't play with the guns. Stop playing with the guns, spray the bullets on each other.
It really sounds like the band is going someplace.
Uh-huh.
Sam's not along for the ride. He's doing his own.
They are leaving Sam behind.
He's doing something.
All this musical stuff with the Armenian comedian happened before your time. What's it sound like to you in your fresh years hearing it now?
This is the best.
Yeah, it's awesome, right?
He's the best. And then, of course, there's the all-time great.
I just want to forget you, baby. And I know it's impossible.
Do you know?
And I know it's impossible.
So you got that.
One of the reasons I'm so excited to talk to Sam again is because he got very angry because he believes he should be a superstar. And God bless Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy actually put him on the late night talk show on ABC one time too. So that just gave Sam enough ammunition for 10 more years of thinking he was going to make it big any minute now. But he started to get really kind of surly with us right before the bomb threat, where he started to complain that we weren't doing enough for him. And at some point he even said that we were the ones who were holding him back. Remember?
Listen to this.
You guys are
So since he's had 2 years now of non-interference from Kevin and Bean, he should be a superstar by now, right? Because we were the ones who were standing in the way of his success.
Oh, definitely.
So I can't wait to find out what he's been doing.
I can't either. This, of course, may be the all-time classic, the duet with Wing, who is as bad as he is, but a woman.
Sam is going to be joining us Monday in studio to catch up on the Kevin and Bean Show.
There's Wing.
That in
the key of bad
going down party time.
Oh, he was getting into it there.
My friends are gonna be there too.
That's where it goes right off the rails.
On the highway to hell.
So you got that going on.
Dear Kevin and Bean, Mario writes in, and by the way, save your emails. We know you all love Sam, and you can't wait for him to come back. There's no need to sit down at
and
the typewriter.
And all of the comedy about how you'll never listen again, and you're not going to listen when he comes on. We know you're joking.
We know you're joking. We know you're all kidding. For instance, Mario who writes in, subject, Sam the Armenian comedian. Seriously, guys, F you guys. I now hate you almost as much as I hate Sam. Mario, I see what you're doing there. You're typing something that's so ridiculously over the line that it's clear that you mean the opposite.
Well
Sam
played,
will
sir.
Be on.
Well played.
Yeah, well played. We'll see you and Sam on Monday.
Playing in the rocking band.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 20 minutes till 10.
Am I hearing this correctly? Ralph wants the Armenian comedian to sit in with him on all of his show business on Monday, so he'll be here for the whole show?
Yep. No. That's what he said.
No, I'm insisting
that's what I thought he said, yeah.
If you guys plan to bring in the Armenian comedian, plan on having him do the show biz beat.
No,
because
no,
I am
no,
not feeling not, well. I am not
that's
feeling
not
well.
A strength.
I'm suggesting I will get a virus around Sunday evening.
We don't want that much of him.
Oh, but he's the best. No, he's the greatest. No. He's super talented. He's so entertaining.
He is entertaining, but because he's so bad, and a little bit goes a long way.
Now, if he's so bad, then you don't bring him on your radio program.
I think you've learned differently through the years.
I think you need to listen to the will of the people.
The people
you
are
you serve
making
at the
jokes.
Pleasure of our audience.
Now, so, people love him.
They don't love him. They're demanding he not come back to the show.
We consider the listeners about 99% of the time. Every once in a while, there's a hot chick. We vote for her for us.
Understandable.
Okay.
Then how do you say, oh, this is the 1% I'm going to take a stand and I'm going to bring in the Armenian comedian?
Because
that
the
needs
listeners
to
are
happen.
They're playing along with the joke.
They're
and they
not.
Send me emails that say, I hate Sam and I won't listen when he's on and I'll turn the station. They're just obviously, they're giving us
they have
material
good
sense to
of humor.
1-800-520-1067.
No,
feel free to
take
call in
calls.
If you have an opinion about the
Stop
Armenian comedian coming
your
back.
Your time on this, Rob.
I'm willing to share my time
but I'm
to let the people
have
a voice. Because
look,
I'm saying if you bring him back, I will not be here for that.
But this doesn't make any sense, Ralph, and you're a logical guy. Just because Sam is great at being Sam doesn't mean he's great at being Ralph. Look, you can have the best cupcake store in the world. It doesn't mean you want those same people to do service on your car. Not everybody does everything. He's a specialty player.
He's not a cupcake store.
He is a specialty player.
We bring him in because he's great at being Sam. That's all he's going to do.
No, he's not great at being Sam. He's not even good at that. He's got nothing.
You guys are sh-
Nothing. Good day, sir.
He has that.
He doesn't. That who needs that?
But why would he say that to us?
It's like saying, you know what? There's a great broken glass store down the street. Go on Melrose. It's a great place that sells nothing but shards of broken glass. And you take your shoes off, and you just walk around, and you peruse the broken glass in the store.
You need to go to Dr. Good College to understand all of you, you stupid heads.
Who needs that?
Me.
I'm
why?
Excited, brother.
Because it's awesome.
I mean, why? 2 years, Ralph. Aren't you a little bit curious to find out what his life has been like for 2 years without Kevin and Bean?
No! I'm happy that my life...
Comedian, teller, and I can't say these jokes on the air, but I would have said better jokes than you have never heard from me yet.
Right. I'm happy that my life has been Sam-free for 2 years.
And it's just going to be a tiny little, just a pinch of salt. Dude.
I'll listen.
Just a pinch of salt.
I'll listen.
That's
I'll
all.
Be listening.
No, that's too
all
much.
Right. Let's take one call.
You're
let's
forcing talk- us to dump all the salt in, and we don't want to do that.
Let's talk to Cy. Cy is on line two, and Cy's got our back here, Kevin, because Cy loves the Armenian comedian and can't wait for Monday
all right.
and is excited to catch up.
Good.
Cy, you're with us, right?
Tell Ralph.
Hi, Kevin B.
Hi.
Cy. It was 2 years ago when I called in your show again and screamed on the top of my lungs saying, please get Sam off the air.
And it
but you've changed your mind because now you miss him, right?
Absence no, I don't actually.
Makes
I
the heart
grow. He's a guy, he's annoying, and he can't speak a word of English.
Huh?
What?
Hmm? Huh?
What? Hmm?
Now he's hanging you. So I'm just going to write you down as one guy who's super excited to have Sam come back on Monday, right?
Oh, guys, come on!
All right. Thank you very much.
See, I got to back the people that
Cy
are screaming
said he was
out.
Excited.
That's not what
right.
he said at all.
What about what George? Let's go to George on line four, for instance. George is another one who will tell you how wrong you are, Ralph. How close-minded you are about Sam coming back. Hi, George. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going great.
Great talking to you guys. I think Sam is trash.
Thank you.
And I do not enjoy that segment of your show.
Thank
Everything
you,
else, you
You're
guys,
being
I love
funny.
The diversity and all the quality you guys got in there. That,
You're being funny.
I don't know.
You're really being funny.
Thank
there.
You,
That's
George.
Well delivered.
I appreciate that.
Nice job.
Yeah.
Why the
okay.
barber cuts the customer's ears?
Why?
Because he was blubbering too much.
See, that's the kind of comedy George is going to get along with the rest of the listeners on
you.
Monday.
Well, I'm just saying it's him or me. That's all I'm saying.
You, too. You want to do a couple of showbiz stories before we go?
All I'm saying it's him or me. That's all you need to know.
Well, I've enjoyed working with you for a long time, but I think it's obvious the call that needs to be made.
All right, fair enough. Jennifer Love Hewitt, her new series, The Client List, debuted this week. Big, big numbers.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Big numbers. Overnight Nielsen's ratings show that 2.8 million viewers tuned into Lifetime to see the show.
Wow.
That's the most watched series debut since 2009's Drop Dead Diva. You know how good Drop Dead Diva is.
Yeah, I mean, it has lasted.
It is. It's the one.
It is?
I think so, yes. Oh. That's especially good considering the Client's List debuted on Easter Sunday. And what says Easter more than a suburban whore?
Her cans.
That's right. With happy endings. the massage house.
Those are some nice Easter eggs she's rocking in that bra, by the way. So, congratulations.
Giant size can.
Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Your I enjoyed talking to her very much last week.
She was charming. She was absolutely
she'll come
charming.
In and see us.
The Hunger Games keeps on rolling along. Congratulations. They've reached another milestone. They have made the list of the top 10 banned books in America.
Top 10 banned books?
Yeah, apparently the...
someone's still banning books?
Yes. There's still people out there who believe if they just ban and burn books, then the evil ideas that inside them will not be spread. These are people, of course, who haven't heard of the internet, so they're fine. But the American Librarians Association apparently lists this book, list every year of the books that have been banned, either for their racial language or sexual content.
So the place where no one goes to read anymore is banning these books.
Well, look.
Just saying.
Some people still go to libraries.
A lot of people go to the library.
Believe it or not.
A lot of people.
I know it's not part of your life.
No.
Not that it ever was part of your life.
Because they have books there.
But it's still some people. Saying, the written word is still important to some people, and they keep track of these things.
But, Ralph, if you let people read objectionable material, then they can make up their own mind about it. And nobody wants that. You should be telling them what their opinion should be on those books they haven't read.
Absolutely.
Obviously.
Coincidentally, Brave New World is on that list of books. To Kill a Mockingbird. And, of course, Hunger Games at number three, third most banned book in the past year. So congratulations to Hunger Games. But they're getting even a bigger honor. There's going to be a Katniss Barbie. Mattel has announced the Katniss Everdeen Barbie doll.
Wow.
Yes. She is going to be dressed in a flowing, glamorous orange gown and a tiara. No, I'm kidding. She'll be dressed as the hunting outfit that Katniss wears in the movie.
She looks like Jennifer Lawrence. Who play with Barbies are a little young for Hunger Games, aren't they?
Here's the thing, Bean. It is Bean, isn't it?
Yes, Bean, that's right.
Barbie has a whole new market, the collectibles market. They do the Barbies for the girls still that they play with, but there's a whole secondary market now where Barbie specializes in high-end collectible editions of Barbie that goes just to toy and doll collectors.
Oh, so you sell it to a 17-year-old.
So adults, no, 17, adults, you know, people in their 40s and 50s, who collect Barbies are buying these special limited edition collectible Barbies to put on their shelves, and these go for like $50 a pop.
Bean, do you collect Barbies?
I don't have any Barbies.
Be honest.
I mean, I have, you know, I've seen them.
You have a postal Barbie. You do.
Even when I go into like a comic book shop, you'll see Barbies that are, you know.
I've got the Batgirl. I've got the Batgirl Barbie.
Right, yeah.
On her Batcycle. It's awesome.
How about Bat, Catman? How about Catman? Does he have one?
I don't have a Catman pen. No. By the way, you guys are ticking off
Man?
A lot of comic book fans with your attacks against Calendar Man and Calculator and other supervillains. Getting a lot of emails.
Is a terrible villain.
Calendar Man is not a terrible villain. Read Batman The Long Halloween. You'll see he's like Hannibal Lecter now. He's evil, evil, evil.
What does he tell you it's Saturday when it's Sunday?
What? That really F's you up, man.
How bad can he be?
And the Calculator now is wielding a lot of power in Gotham City. Just saying, these one-time lame heroes have been reinvented to become really dangerous.
A listener asked
men.
If the purpose of the Calculator is to determine who pays how much when the Justice League goes out to a buffet.
You're incurring a lot of rancor. That's all I'm telling you.
That's normal.
Today, wait till Monday. You think it's normal. It's going to be an avalanche of hatred.
Oh, please.
Today's celebrity birthdays. A.J. Mikalka of Ali and A.J. is 21 years old. Today, Haley Joel Osment from The Sixth Sense turns 24. Mandy Moore is 28 years old today. It is the home opener for the Dodgers. Andre Ethier celebrates his birthday today. He is 30 years old. Michael Pitt celebrates his 31st birthday. Charlie Hunnam from Sons of Anarchy is 32. Comedian and actor Orlando Jones is 44. And Steven Seagal, legendary action hero Steven Seagal, who has not had a salad in some time.
No.
Judging from his appearance, he is 61 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have a brand-new internet roundup for you. We have Jim Gaffigan, comedian, on the program tomorrow.
Love him.
We have You Found Out Your Date Was Married. Tomorrow?
Your boyfriend. Boyfriend or girlfriend?
Boyfriend or girlfriend. Was married, yes.
Wow. I ran into a woman over the weekend, Ralph, who not once but twice has had long-term boyfriends. Deep into the relationship, she found out they had a wife.
Well, you're an idiot then.
Yeah, I agree. If it happens to you twice, that's on you.
You're missing some major, major red flags.
Adam Carolla will be on the program tomorrow.
Yeah.
And live music from a guy named Jack Johnson, who hasn't been around for a
while. Bubbly toes, I got some bubbly toes.
I don't believe he's doing bubbly toes.
He better do bubbly toes.
I don't think he's doing bubbly toes.
Or I'm calling Calendar Man, and we're going to lay siege to this place.
That's tomorrow morning.